the team line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Rise and shine, welcome in. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Thanks for starting your Wednesday morning with us. Wherever you are today, Grand Junction or the Grand Valley, 101.1 FM, 1340, 98.7 in Rifle, 1490, also 102.1 in Delta, and 100.1 in Montrose, and online all the time at theteam1340.com.
Anywhere in our galactic empire you may reside.
Exactly. Are you stoked about the new Star Wars movie?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Well, last night we saw the continuing rise of the Blue Arrow last night.
Guy who deserves the next big contract.
I still like Fridolin, but I can't argue too vehemently.
I'm just saying.
Jamal Murray. Horrible first half. Couldn't shoot his way out of a wet paper bag. Still game one kind of rattling around in his noggin a little bit. And then, you know, Michael Malone just says,
go get him, young fella.
Just go shoot, man. Just shoot the basketball. And what a fourth quarter for Jamal Murray. He hit eight straight shots at one point.
I think the seventh or the eighth was this little step back.
Yeah.
Kind of like a James Harden step back three-pointer. And just buried it. I was getting ready. I was kind of laying in bed watching the rest of the game. I just was like, oh, brother, this kid's on fire.
So the Nuggets down 19 twice in that game.
Yeah.
Come back to win last night. So, reaction to what you saw last night from the Nuggets. And we'll go more in depth coming up a little bit on the game. But Jamal Murray doesn't get to do that last night. If guys like Gary Harris don't play well last night.
Right.
Which, fortunately, Harris played great again. If Paul Millsap doesn't have a good first half, or at least not that 19 points down is, quote, striking distance, but that game could have really got out of hand in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Others had to kind of at least keep them within the opportunity of coming back in that game.
It was teetering on the brink there for a while, and some guys kept them.
Kept them
19
afloat.
Points down is not really in it, but yeah, you're right. Kind of just kept them in it just enough to facilitate this comeback.
Yeah. So the Nuggets get the win last night, off to San Antonio tomorrow night. Avs and Calgary Flames tonight on the team, 7:35. Connor McGahee will join us at 8 o'clock this morning, the voice of the Avalanche on the radio side on Altitude and, of course, on our radio station. So he'll be joining us. And Ryan Harris, part of that Super Bowl 50 championship team, Altitude Sports. Ryan's going to join us to talk Broncos and did he like what they did in free agency? Who does Ryan Harris? We'll give Ryan Harris the GM title. Who would Ryan Harris take with the 10th overall pick? So we'll talk with him coming up right around 9:15 this morning.
Other big questions for Ryan Harris, like would he rather take his kids to a shopping mall or go to a Nuggets game with Orlando Franklin again?
Yeah.
Saw that on Altitude the other night. They had the VIP experience. Those two guys killed the food line.
I bet you they did.
Oh, my goodness.
And congratulations to Ryan again on the new addition to the Harris family. So we'll talk with Ryan Harris coming up later on this morning, right around 9:15. So our Qdoba question of the day today is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. Always fresh, healthy, delicious. Stop by your local Qdoba today for a bowl or a burrito. We're going to play this clip again later on. We'll talk even more about Joe Flacco, who met with the media yesterday over at Dove Valley. I want you to take a listen to the clip from Joe Flacco.
Okay.
And we're going to ask you a question. The question is based on what he said yesterday and what others are interpreting that Joe Flacco meant by this comment. So here we go, Joe Flacco from Dove Valley yesterday.
I don't really care about whether they take a quarterback or not, whether it's 10 or whatnot. The only thing I care about is, like I said, I want this team to be as good as they can with me at quarterback. So if we feel like as a team, as an organization, we can add value to our team with a 10th pick, well, then I'm all for getting the guy that can add value to the team with me as the understood quarterback. But, hey, it is what it is, man.
All right, that's Joe Flacco. There are those that are saying, oh, Flacco's saying, I do not want Denver to take a quarterback at 10. Absolutely not. What I heard him say there was, I think we'd be better off getting a guy that can make impact right now, that can help us right now. And he wants to be this team's starting quarterback. He is this team's starting quarterback right now. I'm going to defend Joe Flacco on this because people are ripping that he's being selfish and he doesn't want him to take a quarterback at 10. What is he supposed to say? Yeah, go out and find the guy to replace me. Go out and draft that guy. Which is what happened to him in Baltimore.
Right.
I'm just not sure what he's supposed to say.
Yeah. First of all, Frank, sorry I hung up on you. Call back. I'll put you back
on hold.
No, I'm with you. That's kind of a. I want them to help this team. And if they feel that's a quarterback, fine. But they need to. I am the quarterback right now. And I want somebody that'll help this team win, but I don't care who it is with me at quarterback.
Because
kind of what I got.
Yeah, because he's kind of getting lambasted by other media outlets as being selfish. How dare he say that they should.
What do you want him to say?
Yeah, he's supposed to say, yeah, go out and find another guy to replace me like they did in Baltimore.
He said all the right things in Baltimore and still lost his job.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what Joe Flacco's supposed to say there. Yeah, I'm ready to mentor another guy to replace me. I'm ready to embrace another guy to replace me so I lose my job.
Right, yeah, to me that was very much the, you know what, they're going to do what they're going to do, but also he said all the right things. I want to help this team win. Okay, check that box. That works.
Yep.
They're going to draft who they're going to draft. Okay, the check that box. That works. I'm the quarterback right now. And he is.
Would be better if they drafted a guy that could help us right now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, who on the team is going into this draft saying, hey, at number 10, they should draft a guy that's going to help us in 3 years? No one. They all want to win this year. Their windows are all closing, and they know that.
And look, I just, you know, with Joe Flacco, if there's still gas in the tank, which there's the feeling there's still gas in the tank.
There's some juice, yeah, a little bit.
That he shouldn't have to feel like this year he's got to fend off a quarterback in year one of him being in Denver. If I'm him, why would I be lobbying for that? Why would I be, yeah, boy, bring a guy in so I can lose my job. Bring
right.
a guy in so I can mentor him. Manning would have never said that.
No.
And
no one would have.
And BFM wouldn't have gotten ripped for saying that because that's the nature of being a quarterback. You want the job. You want the lead. You want to win.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed if he was, oh, I want to. You know, the Lamar Jackson, that situation was so good for me and so fun, and I enjoyed that
right.
just immensely that I want to do that again.
I loved being a mentor.
I love being a mentor. Look, it's fine to be a mentor, but Joe Flacco still wants to be the starting quarterback and win football games.
Right.
I, as much as maybe I haven't been completely on board of Flacco and the trade, I want my quarterback to feel that way. I want him to say, look, this is my job. I'm going to help us win football games. Get us other guys that can help us today.
Yeah.
Not a guy that might be okay down the road later in the 2019 season to contend for my job.
You know, I read it that way and also read it the, you brought me in to win.
Yeah. So
help me win.
So get other guys in here via the draft to help us do that.
But I didn't take it at all as the
selfish.
Oh, Joe Flacco selfish.
But there are people that are interpreting the comment as him being very selfish. So
well, and those people are, I didn't like this trade to begin with. And so I am going to find something in his comments that will back up my viewpoint.
Yeah, and I'm you know where I'm on it. I still feel like it's kind of a lateral move from Keenum, but I want Joe Flacco to succeed, and a quarterback has to have that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
You have to want the job. You have to want to win. That's part of the role he plays, a leader of a football team going forward. So you can text us today. We want to welcome in Joe Walsh and the good folks at Chick-fil-A. Text us on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A serving breakfast right now.
Scramble bowl, Rimrock. Scramble burrito.
And you can also call us on the Grand Junction Chrysler team phone line. And
chicken or sausage.
So I'll go to Frank right now. Now that you didn't, this is Frank, right?
Yeah. Okay. I got it back.
Hello, Frank. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning to you all. On the Flacco thing, you know, it is a lateral move kind of from Case Keenum, but for the Broncos situation and their needs, I honestly think he's the best thing that was available for them.
Okay, but
and I've always liked everything about Flacco. He's
right.
A competitor. He has played hurt. He's got a gun for an arm. If the rest of the team and the management can do what they need to help them win, I'm all with everything he's all about. And, he does want to win now, and he wants the team to help him win now. He's a professional. He's not messing around. He's not here to play.
The thing I want to ask you, though, Frank, it's not whether you like Flacco or not. It's did you hear the comment?
Only a couple of them.
Okay, well, I'm going to play it for you right now. Okay, and I want you to tell me if you hear this comment. Is Joe Flacco being selfish about who the Broncos should take in the draft? Here's Joe Flacco again for you.
I don't really care about whether they take a quarterback or not, whether it's 10 or whatnot. The only thing I care about is, like I said, I want this team to be as good as they can with me at quarterback. So if we feel like as a team, as an organization, we can add value to our team with a 10th pick, well, then I'm all for getting the guy that can add value to the team with me as the understood quarterback. But, hey, it is what it is, man.
All right. So do you take that as Joe Flacco being selfish, saying they don't take a quarterback, only take somebody that's going to help us right now?
Not at all. I don't think it's being selfish at all. The NFL athlete is one of the most elite, outstanding, unavailable things in the world to achieve. And he's done it, and he's still there, and he doesn't want to leave any time. I respect his professionalism and his want to win. When you are an elite athlete in any sport, all you're supposed to do is be professional and want to win no matter what it takes. And I don't think it's selfish at all.
All right, Frank. Very good. Thank you, Frank.
Like the Rockies. I love your comments on the Rockies. They're getting some run support now.
Yep.
And it's really making a difference. The commentator last night on the game said, hey, a little bit of run support and Johnny Gray would be 3-1 right now.
Well, you could say that about a lot of the guys. You could say about Freeland, Marquez. You know, there's a lot of these guys you could say that about right now. But John Gray, definitely.
He made another nice comment. You know, Nolan led the National League in home runs last year, and at the end of April, he only had 4. And he's got 3 right now. So the bats are waking up. Once again, I really liked what the Nuggets did last night. They found a way to win instead of finding a way to lose. And I think they'll get it done. And I love the hockey right now. 2 number one seeds gone. And Avs are gonna get it done, I believe.
All right, Frank. Very good. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, Frank. We appreciate it.
Okay, have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, Frank hitting on a little bit
Frank
of
with the cycle
everything there.
There.
Yeah, hitting on everything there. Our quick question today. Last night, Jamal Murray, of course, went to the stands. He took a bite of the kid's pretzel. Said it was a little dry.
Because it's a pretzel.
Yes or no to pretzels?
Pass.
The little, you know, bow tie, pretzels, mm-hmm. You always get, like you can go to a wedding or something like that's always there on the table at events with all the other snacks and stuff.
Right.
They're okay. Pretzel sticks are okay.
Now, are we talking like soft pretzel or real gold or whatever?
Yeah, we're just pretzels in general. We will include both. I'm more of a soft pretzel. I prefer soft pretzels. I'm not in love with them.
Pretzel connoisseur to begin with.
Yeah, I'd rather have popcorn and other stuff than pretzels. But yeah, I say yes, but it's not like it's an emphatic yeah. It's like, yeah, they're okay.
Pass.
Yeah.
In high school they would have pretzels in the cafeteria during lunch.
Right.
You know, they were nice and cheap, and they also came with nacho cheese, which is pretty much where I was at.
Well, yeah, that's the beautiful thing. Yeah. You get you something to dunk them in, and they're right. Fantastic.
You know, I would dip my finger in nacho cheese. I've been known to in the past. So
I've heard you bathed in nacho cheese.
I can't either confirm or deny that.
That's just a rumor.
Pass on the pretzel, though. I've never been a big, huge pretzel fan. No thanks.
It's okay. I mean, they're okay. They're all right.
Pretzels don't need them.
All right, so text in today. The Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Chick-fil-A. You can text us 970-242-1340, Grand Junction Chrysler Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today on the Jim Davis Show, and time to get to...
What's happening?
All right, Jamal Murray's red hot shooting helped fuel the Nuggets come back in their 114-105 playoff win over San Antonio last night in Denver. Murray scored 21 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter and a one-point hit, 8 straight shots. Murray struggled to score in the first half and says the Pepsi Center crowd played a big role in his huge fourth quarter.
When I stepped on the court, I just looked at the crowd. I just took it all in and everybody waving the towels. I've always dreamed of playing in a playoff game and it's whited out. So that's always been a dream of mine to accomplish that, and I think that's what got me started.
Denver had to rally from 19 down twice in the game. Nikola Jokic added 21 points and 13 rebounds, with Paul Millsap adding 20. The series is tied at one apiece with Game 3 tomorrow night in San Antonio. Pregame tomorrow at 6:35 on the team with Jason Kosmiski. Nolan Arenado homered on his birthday to lead the Rockies to an 8-2 win at San Diego. Arenado hit a two-run home run and then hit a home run in his third straight game. Garrett Hampson also hit his first major league home run as the Rockies sweep the two-game set. John Gray went 7 innings to get the win, but he did set a new National League record by giving up a home run in his 16th straight game. Will Myers going deep on that one. Colorado's won 4 in a row, and they're off today before hosting Bryce Harper and Philadelphia tomorrow. Montrose knocked off Grand Junction 8-2 at Canyon View Park in a Southwestern League baseball showdown. Indians used a 3-run second inning to grab the lead that they did not relinquish, as starter Bridger Davis went 6 2/3 for the win. Struck out 5 along the way. Blaine Butler took the loss to the Tigers, but Butler also had both of Grand Junction's RBIs. Indian skipper Landon Wareham says Davis answered the call.
I'll be honest, we've been challenging him. We know he's better than what he's been giving us, and to his credit, he stepped up today. And
Indians improved to 14-3 overall. They're now 2-1 in the Southwestern League. Grand Junction falls to 10-6. They are 2-1 in league play. They will play again tomorrow at 4 o'clock in Montrose. Lila Deer's 4 goals led Fruita Monument to a 5-1 win over Central in girls' soccer at Walker Field Tuesday night. Kylie Wells out of the other goal as the win moves the Wildcats to 5-0 in Southwestern League play. Two of the Western Slope's best golfers tied for the medalist title at Tuesday's Rifle Invitational in Rifle Creek. Rifle's Macy Smith and Grand Junction's Brentlin Odell both shot 10 over 82s to tie for the individual crown. The Tigers' Jenna Greenlee was 5th, with Palisades' Kathy Norrell and McKenna Shaw tying for 6th. Grand Junction won the team title, with Palisades 2nd and Rifle was 6th. Bowden Wilson, Ben Luker, and Josh Newhouse each scored 4 goals each to lead Grand Junction to a 19-5 win over Montrose in Mountain League lacrosse. Tigers are 6-0 in the league and tied with Fruita Monument for the top spot. The Wildcats moved to 6-0 with their 20-7 win at Glenwood. Connor Hagee and Nate Lyon both scored 5 goals apiece in the win. Colorado Mesa women's golf team came back from 14 shots down to win their invitational at the golf club at Redlands Mesa on Tuesday. The Mavs came back to beat Colorado Christian for the team title. CMU's Ashlyn Kirshner took 2nd, with the Mavs' Hannah Moore taking 3rd. And former Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, now a New England Patriot. Thomas was a free agent after he was released by the Houston Texans. The Broncos traded Thomas to Houston during last season. The 31-year-old Thomas held a streak of 5 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons when he was with the Broncos. But now, a New England Patriot. And that's...
What's happening?
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. So if you heard Joe Flacco's comments, do you take Flacco as being selfish? No, Denver, don't draft a quarterback at 10. I'm your quarterback. Or is that the response he should have because he was brought in to lead this football team? To be the veteran quarterback that this team needs to get out of the ditch after now 3 straight non-playoff seasons. And yes or no to pretzels, Jamal Murray said the pretzel. Murray summed it up. The pretzel was dry. Pretzels, they tend to be dry.
Yeah, tends to be dry.
But a hot soft pretzel is pretty darn good. But it's got to be fresh, hot, got to have the little cheese sauce to dip it in. To me, that's the best way to have a pretzel. The other hard pretzels and stuff, they're okay. Beats nothing, right? Sometimes you're hungry and it's all you've got, it's okay. Not great. So your thoughts, yes or no to pretzels, either soft or hard pretzels. Text us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, 970-242-1340. We will take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show. The meat in the broadcasting sandwich.
Ew!
On Grand Junction 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network. It's your next game up. Colorado Avalanche Hockey on the Team.
The Avs hit the ice tonight in the playoffs against Calgary. Colorado trying to extend their 2-1 series lead. Connor McGahee will have the call. 7:35 pregame tonight. Thursday night, the Nuggets look to grab the lead in their series with San Antonio. It's the Nuggets and Spurs Thursday night on the Team. Pregame at 6:35. For play-by-play schedules, go to theteam1340.com.
Colorado sports leader, 101 FM, 1340 AM. The Team.
We're talking with Dr. Gustafson from Appleton Clinics. One of the big things in our society today is diabetes. Dr. Gustafson, what is diabetes?
Diabetes is defined as a relative deficiency of insulin. There's two types of diabetes. The first kind is type 1 diabetes that typically children and adolescents get. The most common type of diabetes is type 2 diabetes, which is typically adult onset. Over a course of years, diabetes can take a toll on various organ systems in the body. It does things to your heart, can raise blood pressure, it can increase risk of cardiovascular disease. Treated, though, the outcomes can be actually very good.
What are some signs to look for if somebody thinks they might have diabetes?
We see people coming in, they're just tired, they're run down, they don't have energy, maybe going to the bathroom quite a bit. They may have blurrier vision. We have patients meet with both our medical physicians, and they also meet with our diabetes educator to look at lifestyle changes, things like exercise, weight management, healthy diet.
If you're concerned about diabetes, contact Appleton Clinics today at 242-15. Or go online to appletonclinics.com. They're a great group of family doctors, and they know diabetes.
Team weather.
Becoming mostly sunny today. Grand Junction and Delta high around 65, 60 in Montrose. Tonight mostly clear and 40. Sunny tomorrow, 69. Sunny and 75 on Friday. Saturday, mostly sunny, 77.
St. Jude exceeds any expectation or any dream I could have ever had about a hospital. I was told we wouldn't get a bill. I didn't quite process that. How's this possible? It's possible through all the wonderful people who donate. I don't know if they are aware of what they do, but they're saving children's lives every day.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
The Jim Davis Show.
I thought they spoke gibberish.
They speak a blend of two languages mixed with gibberish.
It's worldwide at theteam1340.com and on iTunes, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 724. Come along with the Buckeye Boy. Text us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line today, 970-242-1340. The Joe Flacco comment, if you heard us play it to start out the show this morning. Flacco was asked about drafting a quarterback, and he's like, look, I just want us to draft somebody that's going to help us right now. I'm this team's starting quarterback. And there can be those that say, well, geez, Flacco should welcome all comers, right? If it's better for the team, if it's a quarterback, then he should welcome that.
I think the part that gets him in trouble is the with me as the understood quarterback.
That's where people, I think, have a problem. And even if
he leaves out the word understood, I think he's fine.
Yeah,
but people are just going to catch on that.
Is that just the word that trips it up for him?
I think so. For me, that's the only thing I can see.
He's not guaranteed the job. Let's be honest about that. So, I just think if you're Flacco, though, you go to Denver. They traded for you to be this team's starting quarterback.
Yeah,
and yeah, you have to be willing. If they draft a quarterback at 10, you can't go over the corner and pout about it. Go beat him out, then, Joe. But if you're being brought in to be the veteran quarterback that this team needs, so the offense cannot be a liability to the defense anymore.
Right.
Then if I'm Joe Flacco, I want somebody to come in and can help us. I don't care which side of the football, but I want somebody that can help us. That's going to have an immediate impact on this football team. If it's Devin White, Devin Bush on the defensive side, that makes the Broncos better. Great. If it's an offensive lineman, if I'm Joe Flacco, I'm thrilled with that. He did also talk about working with the young receivers, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton. I'm looking forward to working with the kids. It's like, I've worked with kids before, you know. It's kind of the comment that,
yeah,
he's never worked with young green receivers
he's
in his entire career.
Even, I think.
Yeah. Yes, he does. So, your thoughts on it, if you heard the clip, we'll talk more about it coming up at 8:40 this morning. But Joe Flacco being a little selfish, not being a team guy. Also, our quick question today, pretzel or no pretzel? Jamal Murray went to the stands last night, took a bite out of a kid's pretzel. Maybe that was the thing that gave him some additional energy last night. His boy, the fourth quarter,
carb loading, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic last night.
Oh, man.
8 straight shots, 21 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter. Nuggets come from 19 back to beat San Antonio last night to even up the series at a game apiece. And so let's delve into last night's game with Jamal Murray having the huge fourth quarter. And like I said earlier, that Jamal Murray doesn't get the chance to do that last night if others don't at least kind of keep the Nuggets from getting just totally blown out last night.
Yeah.
That you had the 11 points in the first quarter for Paul Millsap, who finished with 20 points last night. That Millsap, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, those guys all still gave the Nuggets a chance to come back in that game last night. And as great as the Blue Arrow was in the fourth quarter last night, others had at least set up the scenario where there was a possibility of Denver making that comeback down 19 twice in that game last night. And so Gary Harris is going to get the lion's share of the credit, which he deserves to. He was unconscious in the fourth quarter.
It was ridiculous. His fourth quarter was insane to watch. And it was really the thing that kept the team alive, really, in this series, I think. If they go down 2-0, I'm not sure how they recover.
You know, Monte Morris, after a horrible game one. Monte Morris, 11 points, 6 assists last night. Malik Beasley was part of that surge in the third quarter, late in the third, to get them back to have a chance in the fourth quarter to win the basketball game. And look, it didn't look good. It looked like, boy, the hangover from the Saturday night loss was clearly in effect the majority of that game last night. And this is still, once again, this is what you're going to get with a young basketball team. But you had the consistent play of Gary Harris, which has been outstanding the first two games of this series. Nikola Jokic, a better game from a scoring standpoint, 21 points for him last night. That others certainly continued their really good postseason play, but also picked it up a notch or two last night. What Popovich at the end of the game last night, I thought he's going to get tossed.
Yeah,
I really
thought losing his mind.
He just went nuts last night. Murray hit the floater, then nailed the free throw after Popovich's technical foul. You know, Nikola Jokic hit the jumper to put them up 104-101, and then that's really where Murray just took off from that standpoint to really dominate that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the Nuggets. Last night, what it seemed to work for them was really what we were questioning the night before, the game before, rather. Leaving the starters in for the lion's share of the minutes, they tightened the rotation even that much more last night. You talk about Monte Morris, he had 11 points in 23 minutes, and he really led the bench guys in time. Torrey Craig wasn't out there a ton. He wasn't particularly effective what he was, but he was only out there like 7 minutes. Mason Plumlee got some run, but the starters, they all went 25 minutes or more. Paul Millsap was just a few ticks shy of 30 minutes of court time, and everybody else was above him except for Will Barton, and they all scored 20 or plus points. So the balance, the tighter rotation, the sticking to the guys that really got them there, the starters, seemed to work later in the game, in game two, where I really felt that was the issue in game one.
And it looked like Jokic had more room to operate last night. Others were scoring the basketball. They couldn't take him out of the equation as much. I mean, he played 39 minutes last night, led the team in minutes. And he just looked tired at times in game one, particularly with the many double teams he was facing.
Yeah.
He looked like a much fresher Joker last night in game two.
Look, and I understand he had a triple-double in game one, but I think he played much, considerably better.
Oh, absolutely.
Last night. He had a much better game.
He had 10 points on Saturday night.
Yeah,
he had a triple-double, but it wasn't as impactful as you would like to think.
He had more than that from the free throw line and 3-point range last night alone. That's not even counting his other shots. You know, so the 21, 13, and 8, that's a much more effective and efficient stat line, I think, than his triple-double in game one. I agree with you. He had more room to maneuver.
Yeah. Shot the ball better last night than they did on Saturday night.
Yeah.
In particular in the fourth quarter.
The whole team did.
Yeah, everybody. It wasn't just Jamal Murray's. Everybody, they were much more efficient offensively in the fourth quarter last night. So the Nuggets get the 114-105 win. Series is tied up at a game apiece going to San Antonio tomorrow night, 6:35 on the team. They haven't won in San Antonio since 2012. So here's another, I guess, gut check, checking the maturity of this basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
They beat themselves, missed shots Saturday night, looked like that hangover continued. They were able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get it going last night to come back and get the win. And now you've got to go to a place where, for this group of guys, they have not won a basketball game. And so, Ken, here's another mental hurdle for Michael Malone's team to get over. Can you go to the San Antonio, and can you get a win there? Where the Nuggets were great at home this year, San Antonio just a tick behind the Nuggets and how well they play in San Antonio.
Yeah, they always play very well in San Antonio. It doesn't matter who they have. They've completely turned over that roster 5 or 7 times since the start of this dynasty, I guess you could say, for the Spurs, this 22 years of playoffs. I mean, there's guys that weren't even alive when they started this run, and they still play fantastic at home. You know, they've changed from the Alamo Dome to, what is it, the AT&T Center, or whatever it is right now. They, no matter where they're at, as they're at home, whatever building they're in, they play just lights out at home more often than not, and that's something that the Nuggets are going to have to contend with here the next two times out.
Yeah, so the series shifts to San Antonio, where, like I said, they are fantastic at home. This year, 32-9 at home.
That's pretty good.
It's not too shabby. So the Nuggets have that challenge to overcome tomorrow night, 6:35 on the team tomorrow night. And then you have the Rockies, who have started to figure out, hey, if you score some runs, you might win a baseball game or two.
Hey, they finally played it a run in the first inning.
Finally, figuring out a way to score a run last night in the first inning as the Rockies get the win at San Diego last night. And John Gray was really good, but like we mentioned, Will Myers hitting the home run off of him now sets the record in the National League for the consecutive games, 16 in a row, where John Gray has given up a home run. But
setting records, baby.
Nolan Arenado hitting a home run last night for the Rockies, 3 straight games for Arenado, and also celebrated his birthday last night as well. Here's Nolan, a clip courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet, talking to Spilly last night about the home run and also about moving up in Rockies history in regard to home runs and a career in a Rockies uniform.
Oh, it's cool, man. It's cool. It feels great. You know, it's the fans from home, and they came out to San Diego to cheer us on, so it means a lot. You know, we feel like we don't get a lot of fans on the road, so it's really cool to hear them and see them cheer.
This team has struggled offensively in the first couple innings. For you, it's a homer in 3 straight games. By the way, that home run puts you 6th all-time in Rockies history. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah, of course. There's been a lot of good homer hitters here, and it feels amazing. I just thank God I've been able to stay healthy and been able to be in the top 10, but I was just happy to hit the ball hard, man. Honestly, when I hit, I didn't think it was going to go out. And history shows that I don't hit a lot of homers in center field, so especially here. So it was really nice for it to go out. It felt good, and you know, I'm glad I gave John some runs.
All right, that courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet. So Arenado with the home run last night. So Garrett Hampson got the start in center field last night. Couple base knocks. Arenado, 2 hits. Trevor Story, 2 hits. So the Bats have come alive. And San Diego, they're on a three-game losing streak for the first time this season.
Yeah, they're starting to kind of come back to the pack, I think. And it tells you just how slow of a start the Rockies got off to, the fact that they have won three games in a row, and they are still in last place by two games behind the Giants. That tells you just how far behind the eight ball they put themselves after the first week. That clip by Nolan Arenado, two things struck me. One, does it surprise you at all that he knows he doesn't hit home runs to center field in San
Diego?
Doesn't
shock me at all.
Doesn't surprise me at all. And the other thing is I immediately got to thinking, he should hold the franchise mark by the time his option comes up in that deal, right?
You would think so.
I'm not sure how far behind he is. I know he's, sixth now, fifth or sixth? But
He's sixth.
I'm not sure. He should have that record by the time he gets there, I would like to think. I'm looking it up right here if I can find the home run. So Todd Helton's got 369. Nolan's got 189. Can he hit 181 more in the next 3 years?
Yeah, I think there's
like 4 years, I guess. 4 years.
You know, obviously he's got to pick up the pace, and but is now starting to really do that. But yeah, I think it's entirely possible.
45 a year for 4 years. I think he can do it.
Moving past Tulowitzki, he's ahead of Tulowitzki, Galarraga, Charlie Blackmon, Matt Holliday, Brad Hopp, some of the names. But Helton, Larry Walker, Vinny Castilla, Carlos Gonzalez, Dante Bichette, the five that are in front of him right now.
He should he should get Cargo by the end of the year. Cargo's at 227. So that's 38 more, 39 more to pass. I think he should get
that. He has a year that is comparable to previous years. Yeah.
Average year.
Yeah, he's got a shot at doing that this year.
I think so.
All right, so the Rockies off today. They host Bryce Harper and the Phillies tomorrow at Coors Field. But you look at last night, though. I mean, all of a sudden, the hits are starting to come. Tapia had a couple of knocks last night. He had three RBIs. Tony Walters had a couple of hits last night.
What?
Yes.
No, I think you read that wrong.
No, he went 2-for-4 last night.
They pick up a new Tony Walters?
I read a thing where Walters thought about shaving off his mustache.
Oh, he should.
To snap the losing streak. But he was concerned that it took so much work to grow it to the point where it is now, that he'd hate to waste all that work. And he didn't think, maybe it won't change anything. Well, Tony, shave the mustache,
buddy. Shave the mustache
there, pal. It doesn't make you look any more older or distinguished, dude.
No. It makes you look like a goober.
Yeah. It does make him look like a goober. All right, Rockies are the 8-2 win last night. Rockies are now 6-12. The Padres, on this three-game losing streak, they are now 11-8 on the season. All right, 7:39, Jim along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Joe Flacco being kind of called out for saying that the Broncos need to draft a player that can help them now, and making the comment that since he is the... What was the exact phrasing of it? The undisputed? The unquestioned.
I'm trying to remember what he said. What did he? I'm trying to remember what he said. It's in the clip.
Let's hit the clip again.
I don't really care about whether they take a quarterback or not, whether it's 10 or whatnot. The only thing I care about is, like I said, I want this team to be as good as they can with me at quarterback. So if they feel like, if we feel like as a team, as an organization, we can add value to our team with a 10th pick, well, then I'm all for getting the guy that can add value to the team with me as the understood quarterback.
Understood.
But it is what it is, man.
Understood quarterback.
Understood quarterback, which is not in defense of the rabble-rousers that are trying to cause controversy. That's kind of a douchey way to say it. You know? A little bit.
It is, but I'm also going to defend him in saying you want him to be this team's starting quarterback. You want him to lead. And he has to feel like that this is his job.
Right.
He has to believe in himself, and he has to believe he is the right guy at the right time to get this offense turned around.
No, I get that.
Would have been better off if you wouldn't have said that, though. With just me as the team starting quarterback, I think most people could have lived with that. But the understood part of it does create this kind of, I am this team's starting quarterback.
Right.
You know, they went out and traded for me. Yeah. You know, I am the guy that John Elway says is still very much in his prime.
Well, I still don't think it's unselfish. Kind of douchey. A little bit. But not unselfish. Not selfish.
Poorly phrased by Joe Flacco more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't have a problem with anything else he said, and I don't have a big problem with him saying that either.
Right. I don't have a huge problem with any. If he takes out that one word, I have zero problem with what he said.
All right, so
he understood. It's a little douchey.
Yeah, it's a little bit. All right, 7:42. So your thoughts, Joe Flacco, being not a team guy there, being a little bit, hey, it's my job, and no, they shouldn't draft a quarterback because look, that's why you brought me here to be your quarterback. Can text us on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line 970-242-1340. Call us on the Grand Junction Chrysler team phone line 970-242-1340. Your thoughts on that today. Also, since Jamal Murray ate that kid's pretzel last night or took a bite out of it, pretzel or no pretzel for you? Once again, text or call us 970-242-1340. We will take a break and we'll come back with more. Some of your text coming up next on the Jim Davis Show. On the team, Colorado's sports leader.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for
the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Streaming on the team app. And you can ask Alexa to play 1340 The Team. Colorado's sports leader. The Team. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. Jamal Murray helped to fuel the Nuggets comeback as they rallied to beat San Antonio 114-105 in Denver last night to even up their playoff series at a game apiece. Murray scored 21 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter. The series moves to San Antonio tomorrow night. Pregame on Thursday at 6:35 on the Team Sports Network. The Avalanche look to extend their 2-1 series lead over Calgary tonight. Avs and the Flames tonight. Pregame at 7:35 on the Team. Nolan Arenado homered on his birthday to lead the Rockies to an 8-2 win in San Diego. The Rockies take both games against the Padres. Colorado's off today. They host Philadelphia tomorrow. Montrose knocked off Grand Junction 8-2 at Canyonview Park in Southwestern League baseball play. The Indians used a 3-run second inning to grab the lead. They didn't relinquish it as starter Bridger Davis went 6 2/3 for the win, spanning 5 along the way. Blaine Butler took the loss to the Tigers and also had both of Grand Junction's RBIs. Indians skipper Landon Wareham says Davis answered the call.
I'll be honest, we've been challenging him. We know he's better than what he's been giving us. And to his credit, he stepped up today and...
Both teams are now 2-1 in Southwestern League play. Two of the Western Slopes' best golfers tied for the medalist title at Tuesday's Rifle Invitational at Rifle Creek. Rifle's Macy Smith and Grand Junction's Brentlin Odell both shot 10 over 82s to tie for the individual crown. The Tigers' Jenna Greenlee was fifth, with Palisades' Kathy Norell and McKenna Shaw tying for sixth. Grand Junction won the team title, with Palisades second and Rifle sixth. And it was Furta Monmouth winning yesterday in boys' lacrosse, likewise for Grand Junction's boys.
It's your next game up, Colorado Avalanche Hockey on the Team.
The Avs hit the ice tonight in the playoffs against Calgary. Colorado trying to extend their 2-1 series lead. Connor McGahee will have the call 7:35 pregame tonight. Thursday night, the Nuggets look to grab the lead in their series with San Antonio. It's the Nuggets and Spurs Thursday night on the Team pregame at 6:35. For play-by-play schedules, go to theteam1340.com.
Colorado sports leader, 101 FM, 1340 AM. The Team.
Taco John's presents Olay the Day Pep Talks.
Last play of the game, boys. Now, they're expecting us to either run it or pass it. So instead, we're going to do both. Like the new quesadilla taco at Taco John's. It's both a taco and a cheesy quesadilla. Taco and quesadilla. It's the perfect call.
Try Taco John's cheesy new quesadilla tacos, stuffed with sirloin steak, chipotle chicken, pork carnitas, or classic beef.
Let's go quesadilla taco our way to victory.
Olay today at Taco John's.
Good morning, I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNZZ News Center. More than 50 schools in the Denver area closed today as officials continue to search for an 18-year-old woman described as obsessed with the Columbine Massacre. Sol Paez arrived in Denver Monday, purchased a shotgun and ammunition, and headed for the foothills in Jefferson County. State and FBI officials called threats made by Paez credible. He's considered armed and dangerous. Two construction workers have died in a trench collapse in Windsor. The men were working in the 15-foot-deep trench when it caved in yesterday afternoon. At least 60 rescuers worked for hours digging by hand. Because of soil conditions, they were unable to save the men. 420 is a big marijuana day in Colorado. The State Patrol and Mothers Against Drunk Driving getting together to talk about the dangers of driving under the influence of any mind-altering substance. MAD streaming a press conference on its Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 2. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMZZ News Center.
The Jim Davis Show.
They've got to get a clue. But no one seems to be doing it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340. The Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 747. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Joe Flacco, speaking to the media yesterday, said that he doesn't really care the Broncos draft as long as it's somebody that can help them right now. And that, of course, that he is the understood starting quarterback. Do you have a problem with what Flacco said yesterday? You can text us. The Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line. Oh, their breakfast burritos are amazing over at Chick-fil-A. Stop by and see them for breakfast. Text us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, 970-242-1340. We had Frank, who called us earlier, on the Grand Junction Chrysler Team phone line. You can also call us, 970-242-1340. Get some of your texts today. Also, yay or nay on pretzels with Jamal Murray. Taking the bite out of the pretzel last night in the third quarter, went to the stands and took a little bite out of the kid's pretzel. Do you like pretzels? Right? Soft, warm, yes. The pretzel sticks, the little bow tie pretzels, the hard pretzels, yeah, they're okay.
I definitely much rather have a soft pretzel than like a rolled gold, but
yep, like rolled gold. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. The hard pretzels, the little pretzel sticks, or the little bow tie pretzels.
Yeah. Super dry.
From Keith this morning. On the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, I enjoy pretzels as a vehicle to getting nacho cheese or honey mustard into my body. Plain pretzels, I'm not a big fan of. I agree with you on that one, Keith. From Steve, in his defense, Flacco was asked that after getting his first look at Bowles. Ooh.
Ooh.
From Jared this morning, a nice, big, warm, soft sourdough pretzel with an ample amount of sea salt is yummy, yummy, yummy for my tummy. All right, Jared likes him.
A little weird.
A nice,
okay.
Warm sourdough pretzel. All right, we did not do sound check last segment. We're kind of running behind.
Rundown is fluid.
Yeah, Sudbolt, like yeah. Today, yeah, I'm calling an audible. So it is time right now to bring you a little snip of audio heaven that we call sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, CBS Sports Network has their own random football show with some host, another Southern gentleman whose name I forgot, Randy Cross, and one Aaron Taylor, who promptly fired up his broiler to bring you this piping hot take.
Would you take Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick?
Only if I'm Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury. You cannot deny the perfect match of offensive philosophy and style and skill set. If Arizona doesn't take Murray, I project he could possibly fall all the way out of the first round.
Wow. Do you agree with that if he doesn't go one, he could possibly fall?
I guess theoretically you could, but I have a hard time thinking he'd fall out of the first round.
I think they're going to snatch him up, Aaron. I do.
Where's he go?
Somebody's going to take him.
Who takes him?
Who needs a quarterback?
Somebody trades up. If not, maybe yeah. Arizona somebody trades back up and in the first round, but he goes in the first
if
round.
If Kyler Murray's 6'3", if he's Dwayne Haskins, we're not even having this conversation. No. He's number one overall, and it's not even close.
Yeah. See, but the thing that Aaron Taylor doesn't take into consideration, Dwayne Haskins is Dwayne Haskins, and he's not going to be taken number one overall. So just being 6'3" doesn't mean you're going to be significantly better.
Nobody, not a single mock draft I've seen, at least I've looked, I'm sure there are some out there that have Dwayne Haskins one. Somebody's got it somewhere, probably.
Probably, sure.
I haven't seen it. You probably haven't seen it.
I haven't.
His stock has been going down. I'm not sure what...
It's a piping hot take there by Aaron Taylor.
Yeah.
If Arizona doesn't take Kyler Murray, he doesn't go in the first round.
And I disagree with that. I think somebody will take Kyler Murray in the first round. Somebody will. It's not a Arizona or bust kind of thing with Kyler Murray. Somebody they've watched him. Yes, the sample size is small, kind of like it is for Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. But somebody will give him an opportunity, and somebody will take him in the first round.
Yeah, somebody will be enamored enough to take him.
All right. Yeah, piping hot take right there from Aaron Taylor. All right, do you want to correct one thing? I think I said that Montrose and Junction play tomorrow. They play Friday, 4 o'clock Friday at Montrose High School. I had a chance to call that game yesterday. Tell you what, Montrose played really well. Early on, Bridger Davis, he gave up a leadoff walk to Sergio Moreno and then hit Jared Hanks. Kind of got in some trouble in the first inning and then worked his way out of that. But I thought Dylan Shaw did a great job, 9-hole hitter, drives in a couple of runs for Montrose yesterday in that second inning. He had 3 doubles in that inning and really got it going from there. Indy Laird had a big game for them hitting the baseball, and they were just able to kind of keep the pedal to the metal offensively in that game. And Davis went 6 2/3. One point had a 2-hitter going. I think he ended up giving up 4 hits yesterday in that game. But Montrose played really well yesterday, now tied with Junction for the lead in the Southwestern League. And for Grand Junction, they just couldn't get anything going against Bridger Davis yesterday. It wasn't like Blaine Butler had a terrible game on the mound for them, but they never could quite offensively respond until Blaine Butler hit that little slow ground ball through the left side that played at a couple of runs in the seventh inning to get it to 8-2. But I was impressed what I saw from Montrose offensively yesterday. And that Justin Little, they'll have Junction ready for that game Friday in Montrose.
Yeah, they will. And you're right about Montrose. And we talked to their head coach, Landon Wareham, yesterday, and he said that they're kind of grinders. They're not the most talented. They're not the most physically imposing baseball team. They're not going to hit the ball out of the yard. They're not going to throw, mid to upper 90s and strike everybody out. But they're going to grind. We heard Justin Little talk about it yesterday as well. They're going to do the little things. And sometimes when you're evenly matched, it's how well you do those little things all game long that will come and give you wins in situations like this. And that's how Montrose got the win.
But I'll tell you this. Watching or doing the game yesterday, guy that was really impressive, and it wasn't what he necessarily did at the plate, Emmerich Kastendick playing center field. Really windy day yesterday. Kind of took me back to some of those games you might have watched years ago, a Candlestick with the Giants, how the winds would swirl. There was one play, there was a ball that was popped up third base side, and it looked like it would be a foul ball, then blew back into fair territory, ended up being a base hit. But Kastendick in center field, I think he had like 5 or 6 chances in center field yesterday, a couple of diving catches, one in the alley. The way that wind was blowing yesterday, I was impressed. There was a runner out at third base yesterday. On a great play in center field. I was just really impressed with Emmerich Kastendick and the kind of player he is defensively in center field with the arm, with the speed. But really impressed what I saw from him yesterday for the Montrose Indians. So should be a good one on Friday, though. Grand Junction and Montrose squaring off at Montrose High School in Southwestern League play. All right, 7:55, Jim along with the Buckeye boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. From Bronco Sarge, this is what J. Cutler should have said when they talked about bringing another quarterback. I like the attitude. This is my job. They can bring in whomever they want. I'm officially on the Flacco train. Call me Flipper. From Bronco Sarge. I agree with you. If you want him to have the confidence, right, that he is this team's starting quarterback. Understood. Yeah, I don't know about that. If that was a thing he needed to say to get his point across, that he feels like this is my job. But I like the fact that he wants this job. This is his job. He is not ready to just go, okay, draft another quarterback so I can lose my job. So you're going to have to go with him because you spent a first-round pick on him. But I also see the devil's advocate side of it where, well, it shouldn't matter to you, should it, Joe? Because you should feel like you're good enough to win this job, regardless who the competition is. But I want him to feel like this is my job. Nobody's going to take it away from me. I'm going to make this team better.
Yeah, and it's been 11 years. You've won a Super Bowl. You've been to two. It's time to let go of Jay Cutler. It's time to just let it go.
I'm with you on that.
If you have to go see somebody, but it's time to let it go.
I stopped caring about Cutler a long time ago. I don't hate smoking Jay anymore. I haven't for a very long time.
If you think it's still fun to insult the quarterback of a guy that's not been the quarterback of your team for 11 years, it's time to let it go.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bronco Sarge. I get it that the hatred of Jay Cutler runs deep. The love of Tim Tebow runs really strong.
Go to a mountainside or some meadow in the prairie and dig your fingers in the dirt and let it go.
Serenity now.
It's time to just let it go.
It's all right. It's okay.
Not only is he not the quarterback of your team anymore, he's not even the quarterback of the team he went to after.
He's not even a quarterback right now. He's retired at this point in time.
He's helping his wife feed his kids.
Helping her with the blockage.
Yes.
All right. We will take a break, and we'll come back with Hour 2 on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Connor McGahee to open up Hour 2 right here on the team, Colorado's sports leader.
It's
huge.
Gargantuan.
Massive.
Stupendous.
Ginormous.
Colossal.
It's just plain big.
It's the team's fourth annual humongous yard sale Saturday, May 4th, in the Grand Junction High School parking lot. Imagine all the best yard sales in town, all in one convenient location. Sell your stuff and make some cash. The first space is just $5. Don't miss humongous yard sale Saturday, powered by Jerry Pest Control, May 4th from 8:30 to 12:30 at Grand Junction High School. Space is limited, so reserve yours now. Call 254-2100 or go to the team 1340.com.
Team weather.
Becoming mostly sunny today. Grand Junction and Delta high around 65, 60 in Montrose. Tonight mostly clear and 40. Sunny tomorrow, 69. Sunny and 75 on Friday. Saturday mostly sunny, 77.
I'm a veteran. My victory was admitting I had PTSD and getting help.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I no longer see it as a weakness, but as a sign of strength. I call it post-traumatic growth.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was getting my benefits and a good education.
I'm a veteran. When I got out, I felt like Nora was safe.
My victory was finding the help I needed.
But there's more to be done, and more victories to be won.
Thanks to DAV, now I feel like I'm human again.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction, K266 CE Grand Junction, KNAM Silt Rifle, K254CO Silt Rifle, the team.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
I'm John Stashauer. Hockey history made in Columbus. President's Trophy winning team swept in the first round. Blue Jackets 7, Tampa Bay 3. Series sweep by the only team in the NHL that had never won a playoff series. 4 straight over a team that had tied the record for most wins of the regular season. The Lightning had only twice lost 2 games in a row, never 3, let alone 4. Tampa Bay coach is John Cooper.
You know, when you get to the playoffs, you got to remember half the teams in the league are out. So everybody in the playoffs is good. They've earned their way here. So in today's game with the parity, it's not unusual that a 8-1 anymore. Everybody's that close. You know, in the end, it's just we couldn't find our game. That was it.
Not the only Eastern Conference first-round sweep. The Islanders won in Pittsburgh 3-1 to take out the Penguins. The Yankees over the Red Sox 8-0. The Sox, 18 games in last season, were 16-2. 18 in this year, they're 6-12, and their ace, Chris Sale, who they gave a big contract extension to, is 0-4 with an 8.5 ERA.
I gotta find a way to pitch better. I mean, this is flat-out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans. This is as bad as it gets. I know I have to pitch better. Keep saying the same things, but at the end of the day, you go out there and give up 4 runs here, 5 runs here, 7 runs here, not get into the 6th, 7th inning like I should. I mean, that's who I am. I'm supposed to pitch the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, finish games and stuff like that, save our bullpen, cut it off when we're losing, and keep winning streaks going. I mean, that's not who I've been.
Home teams won in the NBA playoffs. Toronto, Denver with a big comeback, and Portland. NBC Sports Radio is brought to you by Wrangler Outdoor Pants and Shirts made with durable fabrics. Moisture management, UPF 30 protection, Wrangler Outdoor clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today.
Baseball plays in the Grand Valley. 101 FM, 1340. The Team.
Who are they?
Bunch of jokers and tokers who spend their lunch hacky-sacking the sound garden.
Ooh!
The Team presents The Jim Davis Show. Call or text the Team line at 970-242-1340. Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome into Hour 2, Sato 3. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios in Texas on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, 970-242-1340. Thoughts on Joe Flacco's comment yesterday about being the understood quarterback, starting quarterback of the Broncos. Do you like a good pretzel? Jamal Murray, well, he thought he did last night. He took a bite out of the kid's pretzel in the third quarter when he fell into the stands, and you know, it was kind of dry.
Are there even such things as good pretzels?
I think if it's hot and it's warm, you know, right out of, you know, from where they make the pretzels.
As hot as Aaron Taylor's take on Kyler Murray.
Yeah, well, needs to be hotter than that. So your thoughts?
Pretty hot.
So you can give us a shout, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team text line, 970-242-1340 with us on the Grand Junction Chrysler team line. He'll have the call tonight. Avalanche, Calgary Flames, 735 on the team tonight. Connor McGahee joins us. Connor, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Jimmy, and hopefully the Flames won't be as hot as a pretzel right out of the oven.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you believe 95 shots the first three games of the series by the Avalanche? Record set by the Avalanche in terms of shots attempted. Boy, it's and that game the other night was just a phenomenal win with a 6-2 win over Calgary.
I was just reading this morning, as a matter of fact, about how that game, Game 3, was one of the most dominant playoff games in the past decade in all the Stanley Cup playoffs, as far as, yes, shots on goal, but expected goals as well. Expected goals coming from those 56 shots north of 5.5, of course, the Avs getting to 6, but the way that they have adjusted after Game 1 to the Calgary Flames, and Calgary, at least to this point, has not adjusted appropriately, is really sort of amazing. The Avs have said all season long that they're based off of the rush and off of speed, and they are completely dominating not just the Flames, but the National Hockey League in that category. Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog lead in rush in scoring chances off the rush in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Avs as a team have, well, at least before last night in Vegas, started the night 20 more chances off the rush. So the speed and the space through the neutral zone has really been a deadly weapon. And then you go back to Game 2 and even a lot of parts of Game 3, and the amount of zone time that they were able to spend really wears the defense down. So the Avs really looked at Game 1, looked at what they needed to do, and made those changes. And Calgary has not been able to handle that up until this point.
Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team. And I think one of the things you look at for Calgary right now, Connor, is that Johnny Gaudreau has really not been much of a factor so far. Just has the one assist.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who had 99 points during the regular season. The one assist is just a secondary assist in this series. And that's sort of been a theme, actually, not just in the Western Conference, but in the Eastern Conference as well. You look at Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos, and they now eliminated Tampa Bay Lightning. And Stamkos just had the goal and the assist, and that was it. Kucherov didn't have anything, of course, led the league in scoring in the regular season. So this is the tough part about teams that do well early and for most of the year, but then don't really have to do anything down the stretch. And Johnny Gaudreau, Nikita Kucherov, and their respective teams sort of fall into that category. Obviously, the Calgary Flames, division champions, Western Conference regular season champions, they had their playoff spot and their position locked up a long time ago. And sometimes, and for whatever reason, I will throw another name into this hat. Sidney Crosby didn't score in the four games versus the New York Islanders. So it's funny, in recent seasons, there have been a lot of superstars who have sort of disappeared, which makes Nathan McKinnon's emergence in the past two games even more special. 4 points in those two, especially considering his friend Sidney Crosby didn't really have any. And then the league leaders, Nikita Kucherov, and right behind him, Johnny Gaudreau, have been silent. So whatever the Avs have been doing to keep him sort of locked down, they need to continue to do that and hope that he doesn't, again, please forgive the pun, catch fire.
Exactly. Well, a pun that is appropriate considering we're talking the Calgary Flames here. Connor McGahee joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. One of the things that certainly has gotten dramatically better that really was in Game 3 was man advantage opportunities, power play opportunities. The first period, the two goals by Nathan McKinnon on the power play, that has really started to kick in after the Avs were 0 for 8 on the power play going into Game 3 of that series.
Yeah, and I asked Jared Bednar about that. I said, are you concerned that the team is 0 for 4 in games 1 and 2? And he said, no, because look at the chances and the zone time that we were spending, especially in game 2, on the power play. There was one power play where maybe the puck came out of the zone for like 10 seconds. The rest of the time, the Avs, again, had great zone time. Had dominated with almost 10.5 minutes overall. And then I think 2 or 3 of those minutes on the power play. So when a coach says that, he knows that the goals are coming because the chances are there. And that proved to be true in Game 3, Nathan McKinnon, 2 power play goals in the same period. Those 3 goals were the first goals in the first period in the series, by the way. Nobody had scored in the first period in Games 1 and 2, but you sort of got the feeling towards the end of Game 2 with the power play that it was starting to happen, and it was starting to get figured out. And Nathan McKinnon has the last 3 power play goals for this team, but they hadn't had one since that game on April 4th versus the Edmonton Oilers. So when coaches look at it, they just don't look at a box score. They look at video and they look at some analytics and they say, okay, I know that we didn't cash in on any of these opportunities, but we're getting really good chances. And when you continue to get those good chances, it's going to happen eventually. And it sure did the other night.
Connor McGahee with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Of course, Cale Makar made his NHL debut the other night. What an impressive debut for Cale Makar. Gets the goal for the Avalanche, also quarterbacked the power play with the second line as well. Now there's the decision, Sam Girard, if he is cleared, Girard will be back with the Avalanche to play, of course, tonight if cleared. So Makar is now there. Does this mean that maybe we see Nemeth or Nikita Zadorov, maybe they end up being scratches for tonight to allow Makar and Girard to both be on the ice tonight potentially?
Yeah, we'll know more this morning at morning skates. Sam Girard practiced before. It was an optional skate, first of all, yesterday. Sam Girard skated before everybody in a red non-contact sweater. He was with skills coach Sean Allard out there on the ice. We'll see what color sweater he's wearing this morning at Pepsi Center. And then there'll be a decision to make. But Cale Makar really... Yeah, I mean, shined. I mean, he did something that's never been done before in the National Hockey League, and that's a defenseman who makes his NHL debut in the Stanley Cup playoffs and scores in that game. Everybody else had been a forward. He's the first defenseman in the history of the league to make his NHL debut in the postseason and score in it. So, and what a play, too. Jumps up in the rush and is able to ward off a man and put a shot to the legs of Mike Smith. So you just see how fast his brain works. We were on the end of the ice at morning skate before game 3, where the second unit power play was set up on Semyon Varlamov. And as you mentioned, he was quarterbacking that power play, and his brain works so fast, and he has the skill set to back up that fast-moving brain, which makes him so good. He knows where the puck is going before he gets it, and he puts it a lot of times in a spot that nobody else is expecting, and that creates space and chances. So we saw a lot of his toolbox the other night with speed and smarts and a couple good defensive plays. I mean, he plays 14 minutes and 18 seconds in his debut and is out there in all types of situations. So it was easy for Jared Bednar to just do a one-for-one swap, Cam McCarr for Sam Girard, and we'll see what kind of decision has to be made tonight. But like I said, we'll know more in just about 2 hours here as we make our way on the morning skate at Pepsi Center. But the debut for Cam McCarr was spectacular, to say the least.
Like, we were talking on the program before they made the decision to play McCarr the other night, and thought, you know, boy, I hate to throw a young guy into the fray like that. Playoffs, you know, it does make it easier that it's at home and at the Pepsi Center. Boy, I don't know, he's got veteran guys around him like Eric Johnson to help walk him through this, so to speak. I don't think any of us, certainly on this program, thought that Cale McCarr would go out and play with the level of maturity. This is a 20-year-old guy that, man, the comment that Nathan MacKinnon made him about him after the game the other night, that he was calling for the puck when he scored the puck. You know, he's a rookie guy. Give me the puck. And it's Nathan MacKinnon. It's not just some dude. It's Nathan MacKinnon. He's got the puck. And, you know, and MacKinnon going over to him before the game the other night and saying, hey, how you feeling? You know, and how you feeling? He's like, feel fine. How about you? It's just, you know, he says that to Nathan MacKinnon. The moxie of the kid and just the way he played the other night, the maturity level, I certainly did not expect to see that. I was just floored by how experienced he looked, how composed he looked, considering that was his first ever NHL game.
Well, and as a defenseman, too, because usually if you're a 17 to 20-year-old kid and you're playing in the National Hockey League, you're a forward.
Yeah.
And there's less pressure on you, especially throw him on the wing and you don't have to, you know, there's not as many things that you have to think about. But that's why everyone raised an eyebrow, because you're talking about a defenseman, one of six in a Stanley Cup playoff game, and there is inherently more responsibility of being a defenseman. And Ken Holland, the GM of the Detroit Red Wings, always had a good line, said, I want all my guys to always be overcooked. And what he meant by that is don't, even though you know that a player is going to be a star, don't force him along. And so you look at the progression that he made in the 2 years at UMass, and everyone said, well, he could be in the NHL right now. That's very true. But what type of lessons did he learn in his sophomore season at UMass? And I'm sure a ton, of course. The Hobie Baker Award winner, one of the nation's leaders in points, and getting his team a UMass program that had been just dismal, and all of a sudden is playing I don't want to say mostly thanks to him, but there's a lot of truth to that in the national championship game. So these are situations where he learns things to handle the big stage and to handle the team. And he's got moxie, but it's not arrogance either.
Mm-hmm.
He's as nice as you could ever ask for. And it's sort of a quiet confidence, and he's always absorbing and learning. And that is a trait that will take him a long way. And you saw the fruits of those labors and those traits in his NHL debut the other night. But, Jimmy, you're spot on with all that. I mean, he's just he took what a lot of people – or he took a situation, rather, where a lot of people could have folded or, you know, eyes gotten too big, but he stepped right up in the biggest stage and really showed Avalanche fans that there's a reason that he's been talked about to a man as one of the best NHL defensive prospects that we've seen in a long time.
Altitude radio voice Connor McGahee joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. He'll have the call tonight, the Avalanche and the Calgary Flames, 7:35 on the Team Sports Network. Nathan MacKinnon obviously has had a phenomenal series so far, but also Mikko Rantanen, goal, 3 assists. The rust is getting knocked off for Mikko. He is certainly starting to pick it up and become a huge contributor in the series so far.
Yeah, I think so. And Landeskog told us a couple weeks ago, and he came back. He said, yeah, you can skate and get on the bike all you want, but there's nothing like playing meaningful games to get you back to how you need to be. And that's the case for Mikko Rantanen. And I think there was a shift even from game 1 to game 2 that – seeing him go back into Tomiko mode. And believe it or not, before that game the other night in Game 3, he never scored a playoff goal. All assists for Mikko Rantanen. So now he's got that monkey off his back. And but he's starting to make a difference down low. Obviously, the pass in Game 2 to Nathan MacKinnon for the overtime winner was just perfect. And Mikko Rantanen, if you look at him in the replay, he just sort of knows that the puck is going in. He's not charged the net to make sure to get on the rebound. He knows that Nathan MacKinnon is going to put that puck behind Mike Smith, and he did. But Mikko is starting to retake some form, and that big line is showing up when the team needs them. And that's been the difference between the Avs and the Calgary Flames, is that the big line for the Flames, as we alluded to earlier, has been non-existent. And so after injuries to both Landeskog and Rantanen, they're starting to come back into form, and that that is striking a little fear, as it did in the entire National Hockey League, especially the first half of the season.
What's one of the keys you're looking for tonight in this one?
Well, you know that this is almost like a Game 7 for the Calgary Flames, because the stats on teams that go up 3-1 is north of 90% to win the series. And so if Calgary drops this one, then you don't want to close the coffin on them, but it may happen. So they need to have this one tonight. And it's just going to depend on the Calgary Flames to see if they can stop those rush chances we were talking earlier. And the forwards especially would lose the puck, and then they would be slow to get back. And there are some speedsters on the Calgary Flames, but I think there are more on the Colorado Avalanche. And if they find a way to clog up the neutral zone and prevent the Avs from getting those rush chances, that's the way they're going to be successful. But the Avs need to continue to do that and just find a way through, and I think they can, because you have your top D pairing for Calgary, and their captain, Mark Giordano, who is a really good leader, is one of the best veterans, if not the best veteran defenseman in the National Hockey League. But after him, you sort of trail off as experience goes on the blue line. I think after him, the average age of defensemen is 22 years old. And if the Avs can just keep throwing chances in their face and tilting the ice that way, then the formula for success will continue. And they found out that Mike Smith can, in fact, be beaten after Game 1. They learned something, I think, because Mike Smith kept leaning forward trying to make saves. And that's why everything started to go high glove side. And then it went the other side, high blocker side. So they saw something with Mike Smith. So keep shooting, because with more shots comes those expected goals, like we were talking about at the beginning. And expected goals, and the numbers show this, lead to wins. So this is the biggest game of the series, because 3-1 is a tough mountain to climb for the Calgary Flames if they go down in this one. But the Avs need to keep their speed if they want to go up 3-1 on the Flames going back to Calgary on Friday night.
All right, 7:35. We'll have it tonight with Connor on the call on the Team Sports Network. Before I let you go, Connor, our pretzel question. Are you a yes or no pretzel guy?
Yes, absolutely. I've got German in the family back there, of course.
Okay.
I got a pretzel. Who doesn't like pretzels? Is there someone on the show who doesn't like pretzels?
Well, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. My cohort is not a huge pretzel fan. Well, I enjoy them if they're out of the oven, hot, fresh.
Give me the nacho cheese and a straw, and I'll be all right.
You just want the nacho cheese. You don't get like one of our listeners said, Connor, the pretzel's a delivery method for the nacho cheese or the honey mustard.
Which is true. The pretzel itself, I mean, I'm not going to eat it without any salt on it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The pretzel itself is
very boring dough. It needs help. The pretzel needs help, but I will still eat it.
Hey, Connor, always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Best of luck with the call tonight.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Connor McGahee. Yay on the pretzel part of it. You know, German background, so yeah, of course.
Jawohl.
Is that it? Is that pretty much?
No, I know more. It's just,
oh, okay. You're not going to show off. You're not going to show off your.
I would totally butcher, though.
Your ability to speak German. Okay, very good. All right, 8:21. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We will take a break. We'll come back for Down Territory coming up in a few minutes. And we'll also talk more about Joe Flacco. And if you've not heard the clip, we'll play it again coming up. Joe Flacco saying that doesn't really care who the Broncos draft, as long as it's somebody that helps them now, and that he's the understood starting quarterback. That's why he did not come out and say, don't draft a quarterback. But I would like them to find somebody that can help us right away with me being the understood starting quarterback here, that you don't really need to draft a quarterback at number 10. He didn't say, the way people are making it sound, like he said, don't draft a quarterback.
Right. Like, I will not stand for your drafting my replacement.
I will not tolerate it. Yeah, I will not tolerate that. I will not accept that.
We're getting our...
Never said that.
AFC North quarterbacks confused.
Yes. Yes, we are. 822 in Texas, the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line. Hit the drive up right now. Those delicious bowls or...
Burrito. Scramble. Yes. Oh. Sausage or chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Options out the, you know what?
Yeah, absolutely. The world is, you know,
the world is your Chick-fil-A.
It's right there. The world is in front of you from a food standpoint at Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line. Stop by and see them over at Rimrock today. 970-242-1340. Calls from the Grand Junction Chrysler team phone line at 970-242-1340. We will take a break and we will come back. Some four down territory coming up in just a few. On the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado's sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show. It is good on Colorado's sports leader. The team. It's your next game up. Colorado Avalanche Hockey on the team.
The Avs hit the ice tonight in the playoffs against Calgary. Colorado trying to extend their 2-1 series lead. Connor McGahee will have the call. 7:35 pregame tonight. Thursday night, the Nuggets look to grab the lead in their series with San Antonio. It's the Nuggets and Spurs Thursday night on the team. Pregame at 6:35. For play-by-play schedules, go to theteam1340.com.
Colorado sports leader. 101 FM, 1340 AM. The team.
Ari Wolf with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The NFL has a new highest paid player. The Seahawks and Russell Wilson reached an agreement on a contract extension early Tuesday morning. It will pay the QB $140 million over 4 years with a $65 million signing bonus. Elsewhere, despite widespread speculation that they will take Oklahoma QB Kyler Murray with the first overall pick, Cardinals GM Steve Keim said Tuesday, quote, "We are not done with this process. We have not made a decision on the number one overall pick." Murray, however, did cancel a planned visit to the Redskins this week. In other draft visit news, the Raiders hosted two projected first-round pass rushers Tuesday in Kentucky's Josh Allen and Clemson's Cleveland Farrell, while the Panthers met with both Oklahoma offensive lineman Cody Ford and University of Washington safety Taylor Rapp. And the Patriots added a new target for Tom Brady. New England signed former Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas to a one-year deal Tuesday. Thomas is a five-time Pro Bowler. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa Know How!
It's Love Your Car Month at Napa. And to show your car the love, get a Napa bucket for $2.99 and save 20% on almost everything you can fit inside, like car wash, car wax, and tire shine. So save some cash and look good doing it by getting 20% off with a Napa bucket. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. Minimum three items may not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 4/30/19.
Want a more beautiful lawn this season? The Home Depot has a few suggestions in one bag. Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, starting at just $26.68. It feeds your lawn, it weeds your lawn, and it prevents crabgrass for up to 4 months. Three of the most common lawn problems, one great solution. Today is the day for doing with Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, starting at just $26.68 a bag. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, continental U.S. only.
Biff here with Eyewitness News. It's spring cleaning time at the Heimdinger Hacienda.
I love it when the house smells fresh and clean.
And that would explain the truck with the skunk logo.
That's right. After all that work, we don't want our septic tank stinking everything up, so we called Goodwin.
Good thinking. Regular maintenance by Goodwin Septic Tank Service is a great way to keep your home smelling fresh as a daisy.
It gives a whole new meaning to deep cleaning.
Call Goodwin Septic Tank Service, 243-2783. Springtime or anytime, Goodwin's is the way to go.
Team weather.
Becoming mostly sunny today. Grand Junction and Delta high around 65, 60 in Montrose. Tonight mostly clear and 40. Sunny tomorrow, 69. Sunny and 75 on Friday. Saturday mostly sunny, 77.
Jim Davis Show.
I've practically been training my whole life to have people who are loud and wrong yell at me.
I've never been so upset in my life.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 827. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. You've heard Joe Flacco's comments about being the understood starting quarterback. You know, and just let's just draft, you know, he made the comment, let's just draft somebody that's going to help us right now. Does that come off as selfish on the part of Joe Flacco? You can text us the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line, 970-242-1340. Big Rob on the text line this morning. What is this nonsense of a player having some grit and toughness talking about, I'm the quarterback of this team? I love it. He's stepping up, and that's what this team needs on the offensive side of the ball. I think he's just letting everyone know he's taking the role of the man on the offense, and whoever comes in should know that. Rob, that's pretty much in a nutshell how I feel about the Flacco comment, that he is the understood starting quarterback of this team. Don't you want him to have the confidence that he is the right man at the right time for this football team? I don't want him saying, well, gee, I hope we draft a quarterback at 10. It'd be great to be here to help guide him along and mentor him.
I don't want him to say that. I don't want him to even allude to the fact that he's okay with his replacement being drafted. And I really have no problems with what he said in the confidence, but there's a difference between just straight up confidence and being kind of a douche about it. I mean, he's kind of a little douchey with the statement. That's all.
Is it D-baggish or is it just being confident?
I think it straddles the line. I think it's kind of yes is the answer to that question.
It walks up and kicks the line. I agree with that. But I'm going to err on the side of it being a confident statement from Joe Flacco.
No, I'm with you there.
That you went out, you traded for me, you believe in me, I believe in myself, and I know I can get this thing turned around here.
Right, look, I am the quarterback of this team. I am the understood quarterback of this team. It says the same thing. The extra word is kind of a little douchey.
Is he also a little gun-shy, too? That he's already been through this before with last year Lamar Jackson.
In Denver.
And so that I have to come in here, forget about that I lost my job to a rookie, and I've got to come in here and I've got to walk the walk and talk the talk of being a starting quarterback.
Yeah. It all probably plays into it, I'm sure.
Let's go to the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line this morning. Mike from Scottsdale, good morning, friend. Since I've been relegated to texting this week, I have some thoughts on the pretzel, which is our other question because of the Jamal Murray taking a bite of the kid's pretzel in the third quarter last night. And I'm sure that kid did not mind for a single second that the Blue Arrow took a little nosh of his pretzel last night.
We're going to get into that in four-down territory.
Okay. Real, like anything else, you need to start with a quality product. You might try a pretzel that doesn't come out of a convenience store before you dismiss it. A quality hot pretzel with a beer cheese sauce is delicious. I agree with him on that.
Doesn't he listen to this show every day? He knows nothing about me at this point, then. If I'm not handed it through a window, I'm probably not going to eat it.
It is ease of it's convenience, right?
Yes.
That's all you.
If it's not a paper bag that says, please recycle somewhere on the bottom of it that I promptly throw in the trash, I'm not going to eat it. Come on. It's not your first day, Mike.
It's not your first rodeo, Mike, from Scottsdale.
Jeez.
He should not be expecting more of you than...
Come on, we're going on 4 years now, 4 days a week being on this show. Let's go now.
You can't get it at the drive-up.
I'm not eating it.
Or somebody's going to walk over and hand it to you.
Yep.
Then you're probably not going to participate.
If it's not on a roller somewhere next to a fountain machine, I'm probably not eating it.
There's another text this morning from Dylan. Thoughts on Joker's comments calling out fans who booed Barton. Will Barton getting booed last night after, you know, I had a poor game
right
in game one. that Nikola Jokic, heard the comments he said in the post game last night. Actually, I want to say something. I didn't like that the crowd and the fans booed Thrill, meaning Will Barton. I think Barton did a lot of things for this organization. Barton, the only Nugget starter who did not score at least 20 points late Tuesday night, struggled throughout the game, just 1 of 10 from the field. Malone said, Mike Malone saying, I felt really bad when they started booing Will Barton. This is not going to help him make a shot. I appreciate Jokic because that shows some leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of your teammates' backs. So I like that he said that. Should the crowd be able to boo him, though?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they have the right to boo him. Long as you're, once again, it gets back to that thing that we've talked about where you're not calling him derogatory names or using racial slurs.
Right.
Or insulting his family.
Greg and I on the Armchair Quarterbacks during the football season, we almost start throwing hands over this topic because he thinks it's ridiculous to boo players. I don't have a problem with them booing the players because, first of all, last night was a playoff game. Shooting 1-for-10 is not going to help you win a playoff game. Also, when you shoot 1-for-10,
you're probably going to get booed.
You're going to get booed, first of all. And Mike Malone says, you know what, booing's not going to help him make a shot. That's true. But when you're 1-for-10 and you keep jacking up shots that miss, having the crowd go, that's okay, guy, good try, it's all right, that's not going to help him make shots either.
That's where Will Barton has to do other things to impact the game.
Yeah.
Get on the glass. Play defense. Whatever. Comes up with a steal. Comes up with a big play on the defensive end.
Right.
And you have to find other ways to impact the game. If you're going to go out and you're cold as the ocean in the North Atlantic, then you probably need to stop shooting the basketball. You probably need to find another way to impact the game. Like, when I go to a game, I don't boo. It's just not me. I don't believe it. But I don't have a problem with other people booing.
Right.
Long as it's, like I said,
deserved.
Long as it's about the performance and not involving ethnicity,
right,
family, hateful, derogatory crap. You want to boo because he's 1-for-10, okay. And it's not going to be the first time or the last time that Will Barton gets booed by people.
Right.
I'm glad that Jokic had his back, though. I think I don't have a problem with that. And Michael Malone should have his players' back, too.
Yeah.
But then the fans have the right to boo if they don't like the performance.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and if you expect the crowd to come out and cheer you on when you play well, you should also have a reasonable expectation that they won't be too thrilled if you're not playing well.
If you're chucking it up to the tune of 1-for-10.
I mean, what's the whole point of praising their support if you know it's just you can play like garbage and they're still going to come out there? That's not going to want you to reward the fans anymore, because then you're just like, all right, whatever. They'll cheer me either way. Here's a brick.
Malone went on to say, I understand the emotions of the game. Again, our fans have been awesome this whole year, but support our guys. When they're going through a tough time, they could use some love.
I mean, what does he want, a hug? That's not going to help him make shots either there, Mike Malone. I mean, come on.
Michael Malone, you've been doing this a long time, man. Been coaching, assistant coach, head coach now for a while. Sacramento and Denver.
Yeah.
People are going to boo. It's going to happen. They're going to boo. You know, in game one, Barton had 15 points, 6 of 15 from the field in that game. He also pulled down 10 rebounds. And, look, does it help? He's right. It doesn't help. It's not going to all of a sudden make Will Barton go, well, crap, they're booing me. Guess I should start making some shots here. How about maybe I need to do other things to impact the game if I can't hit the ocean from the shore.
Right.
The takeaway I have is, number one, I'm glad to see Nikola Jokic demonstrate leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was leadership.
Sure.
I have my guys back. I wish you guys wouldn't boo him. You know, he's trying to do the best he can.
And we wish he wouldn't go 1-for-10 from the field.
And that's fine.
Game.
But that's not going to make people go, well, gee, Joker's right. Maybe some people will. They'll go, yeah, maybe we should get off his back. Yeah, sure.
You know what? But if they're going to come out at all this week with, hey, you just got to tune out the crowd and down in San Antonio. Well, so that only works in the away jerseys? Your tuner only works in the away jerseys? Is that how that works?
You can't expect everybody to sit there and be their cup running over with positivity all the time. And like I said, there's a thin line. There is no doubt a thin line of what's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Or I shouldn't say it's a thin line. It's a thick line, in my opinion, of what's appropriate and what's not.
Right.
You want to go, boo, come on, Will. Okay, that's fine if you want to do that. That's how you want to approach
it,
fine.
With that.
But the other stuff, that's where the line is crossed, and it's just not anywhere close to being acceptable. To any player, whether it's your guy, whether it's your home team, or it's a visiting team.
No, I agree.
Whether it's a Will Barton or a Russell Westbrook, if people are saying racially insensitive, ugly, awful things to a Russell Westbrook, not cool, not acceptable. I just don't think if you're Michael Malone and you're Nikola Jokic, though, as much as I applaud their support of Will Barton, you can't expect fans just to go, okay, we won't do that anymore.
Right.
They're going to boo. They're going to feel like Will Barton should be playing better than that.
Because he should be playing better.
And he probably should be. 8:38. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. All right, let's get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, first down. Okay or not okay with Rick Barnes saying that he would have left Tennessee if UCLA would have paid his buyout. Man, if I'm Tennessee, I'm kind of like, whoa. If they would have paid the buyout, he would have been gone.
It's not so much the school. If I'm a player,
I'm not happy with that either.
Right, so we know now you don't really want to be here. You're here because you have to be here.
You were ready to go, and it was the buyout that kept you from leaving.
Yeah. I have a little bit of problem with that.
I have a
huge problem with that. Yeah, that's kind of a
I'm
big
Tennessee.
Thing
I'm like,
me.
You know what? Hey, Rick Barnes, maybe you should be available for the UCLA job now.
Maybe all of his players should just boo him every time he walks into a room. That'd be fun.
I read that. I'm like, you've got. Why would you say that publicly?
Why do you say that out loud?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You
why
might
do you
might
say that
think
out loud?
That you might say that to
your
agent, your wife, whatever.
That's not it.
But you know, why are you saying that publicly to anybody?
Jeepers, creeper. That's dumb.
All right, second down.
Should we maybe start talking a little bit more about the Astros right now?
Yeah, we should
cooking
be.
Cooking with gas. They've caught Seattle already in that
division.
They are
as hot as Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter.
They are cruising right now. You think Milwaukee is doing well in the Central. Houston's, I mean, I know they're only a half game up on Seattle right now, but the way they're playing, they could run away and hide with that division by July.
Look, I haven't been riding much lately, Tiger, Cale Makar. Did pick Houston, though. Go to the World Series.
Yeah. They're
back,
doing all right.
They're back and playing really well.
Yeah, they are.
Playing really well. All right, third down. Columbus upsetting Tampa Bay, the President's Trophy winner in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
My Blue Jackets.
Your Columbus Blue Jackets. Surprised or not that Tampa Bay lost to the Blue Jackets? It is the kiss of death to win the President's Trophy, isn't it?
I'm not surprised they lost the series. I'm surprised it only took them four games to lose the series.
You're kidding.
Man, they got just clobbered. They got run out of the building in a couple of those games. And last night's game turns out to be a little worse. A couple of those were empty netters. You know, it was 3-3 there for a while. Yeah, kind of surprised a little bit. To be honest, fourth down, Jamal Murray took a bite of the kid's pretzel. Do you finish said pretzel at that point? Nope.
You're gonna keep that for posterity?
No, I'm tossing it. Other people don't touch or eat my food guy.
But you wouldn't keep that for a while just to say, hey, Jamal Murray ate my pretzel. This is. These are his bite marks. This is the pretzel that he ate.
They better win the championship at that point then. Because, I mean, if they're getting knocked out of the second round or the Western Conference Finals, then now you just have a moldy pretzel. No,
I don't think you keep it forever. I know, maybe you could shellac it or something. I don't know.
No, I'm
for posterity.
No, we're done with the pretzel at that point. I don't want other people touching it.
But you're okay. Let's put yourself. You're a kid.
Yeah.
You're young. I don't know how old the kid was. I don't remember how old he was that had the pretzel. Wouldn't you like take that to school and show your classmates?
No.
Hey, this is the pretzel that Jamal Murray bit. They got him going. And that big fourth quarter the other night, it was my pretzel.
No.
They got him. You wouldn't take that to school? No. Or like show and tell or something? Or
no.
Show your buddies? Or
no, I got some cool stuff, you know, some pretty neat memorabilia items. Nowhere among them is half-eaten food.
But you've got like autographed jerseys, stuff like that. That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
But not where the player, while you're watching the game, came over and took a bite out of your pretzel.
Listen, there are a few things to me more important than my sports. My food is one of them. Don't touch my food. Don't eat my food. Don't touch my food. Leave it alone.
So, okay, you're telling me that, let's say, you go watch the Broncos and the Browns.
Yeah.
I don't want this to happen, but let's say it does. Baker Mayfield throws a touchdown, like maybe he throws five or six touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
and he comes over, runs over to the stands, you're close enough where he can jump up, take a little handful of popcorn out of your popcorn bucket. You're going to throw the popcorn away because Baker Mayfield took a little handful of popcorn?
Sweaty, grimy, dirty? Yes, absolutely. That's gross. I don't want other people touching my food. Doesn't matter.
But you're not going to bring that back as a trophy? Look. Baker Mayfield ate popcorn out of this bucket. You're not going to hold that up as some kind of trophy? Go buy some more popcorn.
It could be the love child of LeBron and Urban Meyer. Don't touch my food.
Wow.
Do not touch my food.
I just thought it'd be an opportunity for you to...
No, don't touch my food.
That would be unique. That happened, man. Okay.
They do it all the time. Jamal Murray just grabbed some kid's pretzel. And if Baker Mayfield does it, then everybody's doing it now. And then we reach a point of no return where everybody's touching everybody else's food. And now this is a problem. Don't touch my food.
Your fandom does have its limits, doesn't it?
Yeah, there are food. My food is more important than my fandom.
Okay.
Don't touch my food.
All right. That's four down territory this morning. Wow, somebody's very persnickety.
It's an easy decision for me. It's not even a thought.
All right, 8:44, we'll take a break. We'll get back to more on this Joe Flacco thing that we talked about with saying he's the understood quarterback.
Yeah.
Text into Ryan Harris this morning. I haven't heard back from Ryan yet. I'm assuming
we got a half hour still, right?
I'm assuming we're still good to go. Hopefully, maybe Ryan's on diaper changing
duty
or something.
Maybe he's trying to wrangle Orlando Franklin around the bowels of Pepsi Center.
He might be. I don't know. That's possible.
Big man to control.
So hopefully Ryan Harris will be good to go coming up at 9:15 this morning. Of course, starting lineman for the Broncos, when they won Super Bowl 50, working on altitude sports radio these days. So that's coming up, fingers crossed, 9:15 next hour in the program. We will take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
Jim Davis Show on in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1. The Team Sports Network. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. Jamal Murray's red-hot shooting helped fuel the Nuggets come back in their 114-105 playoff win over San Antonio last night in Denver. Murray scored 21 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter and at one point hit eight straight shots. Murray struggled to score in the first half, and he says the Pepsi Center crowd played a role in his big fourth quarter.
When I stepped on the court, I just looked at the crowd. I just took it all in, everybody waving the towels. I've always dreamed of playing in a playoff game, and it's whited out. So that's always been a dream of mine to accomplish that, and I think that's what got me started.
Denver had to rally from 19 down twice in the game. Nikola Jokic scored 21 points and pulled down 13 rebounds, with Paul Millsap adding 20 points. The series is tied at one apiece with Game 3 tomorrow night in San Antonio. Pre-game tomorrow at 6:35 on the Team. Tonight, the Avalanche looking to extend their 2-1 series lead over Calgary. Pre-game at 7:35 tonight on the Team. Nolan Arenado homered on his birthday to lead the Rockies to an 8-2 win at San Diego. Arenado hit a two-run home run and also hit a home run in his third straight game. Jared Hampson hit his first major league home run as the Rocks sweeps the two-game set. John Gray went seven innings to get the win, but he did set a new National League record by giving up a home run in his 16th straight game. Colorado's won four in a row, and they're off today before hosting Bryce Harper in Philadelphia tomorrow. Lila Deer's four goals led Fruita Monument to a 5-1 win over Central in girls soccer at Walker Field Tuesday night. Allie Wells added the other goals. The win moves the Wildcats to 5-0 in the Southwestern League. I'm Jim Davis, Colorado sports leader, the team.
Hi, this is Randy with Tom Meister. Today we're at Sally's house. She called us because she was tired of her kitchen being so dark and gloomy. Well, now she's seen the light.
Wow! Tilemeister installed two new tubular skylights this morning, and it's like I have a brand new kitchen. It's so bright and beautiful. Thank you, Tilemeister.
Transform your home with the tubular skylight from Tilemeister. Give us a call today at 244-TILE.
Call 244-TILE. Make your home look nicer with the Tilemeister.
Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Valvoline. Get the ultimate protection for your ride. Find products at Valvoline.com. Cal McCarr is enjoying quite the week that hockey-crazed kids can only dream about. On Friday night, McCarr won the Hobie Baker Award, which is college hockey's version of the Heisman Trophy or Naismith Award. Then on Saturday, McCarr led UMass in its first ever NCAA title game appearance. However, defending champion Minnesota Duluth prevailed 3-0. The next day, the 20-year-old defenseman turned pro, signing a three-year entry-level contract with the Colorado Avalanche, who had drafted him in the first round, fourth overall. Finally, Monday night, McCarr made his NHL debut in the Stanley Cup playoffs and actually scored a goal just over 16 minutes into the game. Ironically, he helped beat the Flames, who were the team he rooted for while growing up in Calgary. This Kale's salad days have only just begun, and what a start for the young rookie. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Here in the KMBZ News Center. Most schools in the Denver metro area are closed today amid what's being called a massive manhunt. Authorities looking for an 18-year-old Florida woman called obsessed with the Columbine High School massacre. Sol Paez was last seen in Jefferson County foothills Monday. She reportedly got off a plane in Denver Monday and purchased a shotgun and ammunition. The pair charged with starting the Lake Christine fire won a change of venue. The man and woman are facing arson charges and have pleaded not guilty. According to the Aspen Daily News, one of the suspects had to be rescued near Aspen Highlands in early March after skiing out of bounds. That caused a public uproar. Attorneys say that's one of the reasons they want the venue changed. Grand Junction City Manager Greg Caton's Coffee Talk this month is tomorrow at City Hall. Community members can talk with Caton and the heads of the city's planning and public works department. Coffee tomorrow morning at 10:30. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMTV News Center.
Arenado, Freeland, and the Rockies. Colorado Rockies baseball on the team.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Jim Davis Show is worldwide at theteam1340.com and on iTunes, The Team.
Welcome back, 850. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Joe Flacco talking to the media yesterday. Yesterday was day one of the voluntary veteran minicamp over at Dove Valley. And we'll lead it out. Comment we played from Joe Flacco, and we'll add to that a little bit, not with the audio, but the additional comment that he made. It's about the Broncos and what they might do with the 10th pick in the draft.
I don't really care about whether they take a quarterback or not, whether it's 10 or whatnot. The only thing I care about is, like I said, I want this team to be as good as they can with me at quarterback. So if we feel like as a team, as an organization, we can add value to our team with a 10th pick, well, then I'm all for getting the guy that can add value to the team with me as the understood quarterback. But hey, it is what it is, man.
And then he went on to say, I want to get this team to be the best it is with me at the quarterback position. Obviously, this is not of the most importance to draft a quarterback, but if we do, that's completely out of my control. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to compete, and he's going to have to come out here and be on the field with me every day, too. I'm all ready for that. So he did go on and say, look, if that happens, that happens. But he did make the comment that it would be best to draft a player that can help them now. And that player should come in, if it's an offensive player, to help with him as the understood starting quarterback.
Right.
And there are people that feel like that Flacco was saying, don't draft a quarterback. You've already solved your quarterback problem. I'm the answer to your problem. Do you take it that way? I take it as that Joe Flacco is saying, I plan on being this team's starting quarterback. I'm going to make us better. And if they draft a quarterback, then I'm just going to have to deal with that and work through that. And I'm here to compete. I'm here to be this team's starting quarterback regardless what they do. But I'm here today as this team's starting quarterback. So do you have it? Has it, with the other comments made there, does that change what you think about the Joe Flacco statements?
I mean, just on the base of what he's saying is, yeah, he's essentially saying, hey, you don't need to draft the quarterback. Now, whether that's his place to say it or not, that's for each person to really decide on their own. The more I hear it, I don't know, the weirder it strikes me. Not weird, but just kind of awkward it seems between him and the front office. You know what I mean? That's not a really good way of explaining it, but
yeah.
The more I hear the cut, the more odd it starts to land on my ears. Like,
But he did have the comment there at the end, the part that I read, that said that, you know, if they draft a quarterback, then I'm going to be out there. He's going to be out there. We're going to have to work together on a certain level. But I'm here to win the job. I'm here to be this team's starting quarterback, regardless what they decide to do in the draft, whether it's the 10th overall pick or later in the draft. I just think if he comes out and is this, well, you know, if I welcome anybody that comes in and if it comes off as too much embracing, boy, I really hope they go out and draft a young quarterback. I really want, because I love working with young quarterbacks. I love my Lamar Jackson experience. I really love that. And I want to do that again. I don't want to hear that from him. I want to hear kind of what I'm hearing, that I'm this team's starting quarterback. I'm the veteran guy. I've won a Super Bowl. I'm coming here to make this offense better. And if they bring somebody in, fine. I'll deal with it. But I'm here to make this team better. I'm here to win. I need to hear that. I want to hear that from him. Because if he says anything else, then aren't we going, well, gee, boy, doesn't sound like Joe Flacco's totally sold on being a starting quarterback anymore. He's not sold on being the veteran leader this team needs. He's going to get criticized for that, right? If he's too agreeable about them bringing in a quarterback.
Right. But most outlets and fans are going to criticize Joe Flacco anyway because they don't want him here. So,
yeah, there are people that are not stoked about Denver getting him. Initially, I could put myself in the tepid at best thing about Joe Flacco. But he's the Broncos quarterback. He's a guy they traded for. And I think if you're a fan, you want it to work with Joe Flacco. You want this to work. You're hoping it works. You're hoping that John Elway gets it right at some point. Maybe Joe Flacco is one of the times he gets it right.
Right.
With who he's bringing in. Now, as far as some other draft information, as we get closer to the draft in Nashville, that NFL Network's draft expert, the new Mike Mayock, Daniel Jeremiah, he is mocking the Broncos to take LSU linebacker Devin White at number 10. So he's got Murray to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Got Murray to the Cardinals, Bosa to the 49ers, Ed Oliver to the Jets, Quinnen Williams to the Raiders, Josh Allen to the Bucs, Daniel Jones going 6th to the Giants, Jawan Taylor, the offensive tackle of the Jags, Jonah Williams, the guard to the Lions, T.J. Hockenson, the Iowa tight end to the Bills, and then Devin White going to the Broncos. I'd be happy with that.
I'd be fine with that.
I would love Devin White in that defense. Make that defense even more athletic. Guy that can rush the passer, can cover from an inside linebacker position, a tackle machine in Devin White would be absolutely fantastic. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back with Hour 3, hoping to have Ryan Harris on with us from Altitude Sports Radio. We had Ryan on several weeks ago and really enjoyed the conversation we had with him, so we'll have that coming up next hour. On the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
We've given away over $1 million in prizes right here in Western Colorado with our never-ending contest, and you could be our next winner. This month from Motorcycle Accessories, you could win a 2010 BMW 1200 GS motorcycle with windshield, saddlebags, crash bars, mirror extensions, and more. Plus a 5-day rental of a BMW or Harley Davidson from Eagle Rider, a total value of $7,700, courtesy of Motorcycle Accessories. When you win any contest on our station, you'll be qualified for this month's grand prize. Keep listening for your chance to win in the never-ending contest.
Our job is to make sure we give that customer back a car that was every bit as safe as it was before the accident. ICAR is the standard for collision repair, and we've actually attained our ICAR Gold status, which means we've spent the time and the money to continue educating all of our technicians so that they can repair your car properly. Hi, this is Jamie from Superior Body Shop. Give us a call, 245-6303.
Superior Body Shop with Superior.
Weather.
Becoming mostly sunny today. Grand Junction and Delta, high around 65, 60 in Montrose. Tonight, mostly clear and 40. Sunny tomorrow, 69. Sunny and 75 on Friday. Saturday, mostly sunny, 77.
Hey, Grand Junction. You can change the life of a homeless teen today by stepping forward to volunteer or mentor at The House, a safe place for Western Slope teens. This is John McLemay with The House. Research and experience tells us that the thing that our kids need most is someone to love them and to care about them in a very personal way. We also need volunteers to help youth who are living in one of our 5 homes. You can make a difference in the life of a homeless teen. Call us at 970-234-1818 or visit us at thehousegj.org.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
3 more game 2s on the NBA docket tonight. The Indiana Pacers on the road at the Boston Celtics. Boston leads that series 1-0. Guard Kyrie Irving discussing the playoff intensity.
It's the playoffs. Huh? You kind of expect that, but it's the same. Same basketball, same rim. Just the intensity is a little higher. Russell letting us play a little bit more. Just got to adapt, that's all.
Game 2 of the night. Milwaukee is home for the Detroit Pistons. Bucks lead their series 1-0. And on the late game tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, tip-off Utah Jazz at the Houston Rockets. Houston leading that series 1-0. Mike D'Antoni, head coach of the Rockets, discusses the team's mindset heading into game 2.
We're still going to have the killer instinct and the mindset of, the appropriate fear of entering this game. And hopefully we have that.
With the NFL schedule set to be released later today, the Chicago Bears-Oakland Raiders are going to play the first NFL game ever at the newest stadium in England, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That'll be on October 6th. It'll be the first of four regular season games played in London. Two of them will be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. NHL postseason action. Game 4 is coming up tonight. Boston's at Toronto. Maple Leafs a 2-1 series lead. Nashville is at Dallas. Dallas trailing that series 2-1. Calgary on the road at Colorado. The Avalanche a 2-1 series lead. Afternoon action in Major League Baseball. The Mets are at the Phillies. Milwaukee is hosting St. Louis. Kansas City on the road at the White Sox. Cincinnati, they are in Los Angeles facing the Dodgers. This update brought to you by Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a Comfort Flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series, try on a pair today. I'm Dan Schwartzman. This is NBC Sports Radio, and make sure to download the NBC Sports Scores app.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction, K266 CE Grand Junction, KNAM Silt Rifle, K254CO Silt Rifle, the team.
Time for the sharing and the caring to begin.
Do it!
The team presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Oh yeah! All right! 903, good morning, welcome in. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios.
All right. Hell yeah.
You've heard the Joe Flacco comments. Flacco saying that he would like the Broncos to draft a player that's going to have an immediate impact, and particularly somebody on his side of the ball that he, since he's the, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, the understood starting quarterback. Flacco not being a team guy, some people have ripped him for that. Or that being too arrogant, saying that I am, you know, that I am the understood starting quarterback. Or do you like the fact that he's got confidence? That's what you want from your starting quarterback. That's why they brought him in, a veteran guy that can lead that offense, be the kind of player that maybe not PFM exactly, but a veteran guy that can come in and lead that young group of receivers and make that offense a better unit for Vic Fangio in his first year. So your thoughts on that today. Also, with Jamal Murray eating the kid's pretzel last night at the Nuggets game when he went into the stands, yes or no on pretzels? And it can be soft or the rolled gold hard pretzels. A warm pretzel out of the oven with a little mustard on it. The honey mustard stuff, really, really good. Would I take that over popcorn or something like that? No, I wouldn't. To me, buttery popcorn, from a snack food standpoint, number one favorite thing for me.
And I think that you have a better chance of getting decent popcorn than you do a decent pretzel. Because even somewhat cold popcorn is still pretty good.
Yeah, even when it's not right out of the popper, it's still not shabby. So you can text us today about either thing. On the Chick-fil-A breakfast team text line, want to welcome Chick-fil-A aboard. Joe Walsh and the folks over at Rimrock. Grab your breakfast over at Chick-fil-A today. Text us at 970-242-1340 or call us on the Grand Junction Chrysler team phone line at 970-242-1340. Great selection of Chrysler cars, Dodge Ram pickup trucks, Jeeps. They have it at Grand Junction Chrysler Motor and funny little street just a little west of us here at our studios at Sherwood Park. All right. Before we talk with Ryan Harris, we hope to have Ryan Harris coming up in just a little bit, in about 10 minutes. A few more Broncos notes this morning. Of course, tonight we'll have the schedule release. That'll come out tonight. Already know who everybody's playing. It's just now we'll find out primetime games, road and home, and some of those things for the Broncos and everybody else in the NFL. That Peter King, in his Football Morning in America piece that he wrote, in his 10 Things I Think column, he says that he will not be shocked if Denver at 10 takes Dwayne Haskins. Peter King, guy that usually has his ear to the ground, has a good feel for what's going on with teams in their front offices that, you know, the feeling has been for a long time, if it was going to be a quarterback, it was going to be Drew Lock. And now there's a sense, at least from Peter King, that Haskins, and according to Peter King, the Dwayne Haskins gambit to wear the John Elway retro jersey to his meeting, paid off handsomely.
Well, I'm sure, who likes John Elway more than John Elway?
But here's the concern
who likes
I have about
being
this.
John Elway more than John Elway.
This can't be a case where just because he wore the John Elway's jersey that's the thing that pushes him over the top. That he really wants to be here. He wants to be our next great quarterback. He wore my jersey. If you're John Elway thinking all this stuff, that can't be
he loves me.
That can't be the thing that pushes it over the top, can it? That you know, it's Drew Lock and him neck and neck. Okay, Haskins wore an Elway jersey. He's my guy now. Because that's kind of what this is implying, right?
Absolutely.
That snapped any kind of deadlock with him and anybody else?
See, for me, it's one of those things to where the worse the team does, the better and easier the show is to do. You know what I mean? So please, for the love of God, draft Dwayne Haskins because of the sole reason he wore John Elway's jersey to meet John Elway. That would be gold for this program.
I just read that and I take that as, are you serious that's the thing that's going to be the difference maker here? That all of a sudden John Elway was, Haskins isn't bad. Wish the sample size is bigger. Love the way he played against Michigan. I didn't like the way he played against Purdue. Guy can make the appropriate throws, as we like to talk about.
Can you imagine if they did the meetings on the same day? They had Drew Lock in there, you know, and Dwayne Haskins is waiting out in the lobby, and they don't want to send Drew Lock through the lobby, so they send him down a corridor, right? And they're like, I really like that guy. Man, good, big, strong hands, big, strong quarterback. I like that guy. And he opens the door and sees Dwayne Haskins standing there in his own jersey. Just gives, I love him. Can we draft him now? Be great.
Yeah. Now, okay, imagine this. Imagine if Drew Lock made the mistake.
Heard it from the other side of the door.
Or Drew Lock made the mistake of showing up in a Tommy Maddox jersey. Oh, you mean that wasn't a good thing to do? Oh,
or
no.
Or a Peyton Manning jersey.
Or yeah. I think Elway would have been far better with him wearing a PFM jersey than a Tommy Maddox jersey, considering the history there.
Fire if he was wearing a Tommy Maddox.
Because when I read it, it's like, so that's the thing that's going to make the difference here?
I hope so. I really do.
There's not a universe where Dwayne Haskins wearing an Elway jersey is the thing that goes, yep, he's our guy. We weren't sure before, but man, we're locked in now.
If they're going to be mired in the muck of rebuilding 8-8, those type of seasons for the next couple of years, this is what you need to set yourself apart. A story like
this. A little butt kissing's fine. You know, I thought, okay, it's fine that he wears the jersey. It's not standard procedure at a job interview, even if you're interviewing to be an NFL quarterback. But the way I read this, it's like that's the thing. It's like all of a sudden, wow, he wore a John Elway jersey.
Did he tell him he wore number 7 because he loved John Elway?
Yeah, probably. I have not heard that, but I read this and I'm just going, man. Of all the things that's happened with John Elway trying to get the right guy at quarterback, that if this ends up being the thing that comes out that was that tipped the scales in favor of Dwayne Haskins, and Haskins goes out and he's terrible.
Oh, this would be great. Make this show so much easier.
Now, if they draft him and he ends up being great, ends up being what they were looking for, then
so many other guys are going to try that.
Yeah, they're going to try that. And that adds to the story, right? That makes it, you know, John Elway was impressed that he wore his jersey, showing his commitment to being this team's next great starting quarterback.
Hey,
and he delivered on that promise, right?
Which would you rather
He delivered
have?
On it.
He wears the jersey of whoever the GM is, right? Which John Elway is.
Right.
A hobo on the street tells him to draft him, or a billboard on the highway convinces
him. Or a magic eight ball.
Which one? Which one would you rather have?
Or, yeah, or flipping a coin, or whatever.
Oh,
it kind of sounds like
dear
Dwayne
Lord,
flipped
this
the coin for him.
This can't be the thing that tips the scales.
I hope so.
Please let
this happen.
I hope not.
Come on.
I know you
do it for me.
You hope for it. I don't. Well, after comparing completion percentages and red zone efficiency, and it was the guy that wore the boss's jersey that gets the job.
Now we know how Mike Williams got drafted in Detroit. He wore a Matt Millen jersey to a
barely,
team.
Barely so.
There's no other reason to draft him. Matt Millen, I like that guy. That guy's great.
He wore my jersey to the job interview.
Antonio Brown dressed up like Chucky in a meeting with the Raiders.
I like that guy.
I like that guy.
That guy looks good right there.
I like that guy.
AB, I like that guy.
Look at that hair. That guy looks good.
See what Gruden's jersey from when he played college football?
He dressed up as Chucky.
Oh. I can see Antonio Brown doing that, too.
I could, too. Oh, overalls, yeah.
Could see. By the way, do you see where they're bringing Chucky back?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Do we need that? I wasn't
There's
really...
no original ideas anymore.
No, they're not. There's not. All right, 9-12.
Pet Cemetery's coming back.
Yeah. The book's very scary. The first movie, it was okay. This is supposed to be very scary. I don't know.
I'm out.
I will say this, though. It, the movie It,
mm-hmm.
which they're going to do the sequel, Chapter 2 or whatever, it is a freaking scary movie. The Skarsgård brother, and most of them are Handsome Dan guys, it's dressed up as Pennywise. He is absolutely terrifying. He is scary.
I will take your word for it.
You would not want to go to it.
I'm not gonna.
I know you won't.
Nope.
9:13. I think I might have received a text from Ryan Harris. I just heard my phone ping. So we will take a break. We'll come back and hopefully Ryan Harris of Altitude Sports Radio on the other side.
Hey friends, Walt Pru here, manager of the Cameo Shooting and Education Complex. Well, we're into that outdoor time of year again, and we'll be changing to our summer hours soon. We'll be open 7 days a week. Right now, we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 to 6, and we've expanded our action shooting sports to include IDPA, USPSA, Steel Challenge, and 3-Gun. And be sure to ask about our beginning archery classes for all ages. We're easy to find off of I-70, exit 45, just east of Palisade. You can call us at 464-1339 or look for Cameo Shooting and Education Complex on Facebook.
It's your next game up. Colorado Avalanche Hockey on the team.
The Avs hit the ice tonight in the playoffs against Calgary. Colorado trying to extend their 2-1 series lead. Connor McGahee will have the call. 7:35 pregame tonight. Thursday night, the Nuggets look to grab the lead in their series with San Antonio. It's the Nuggets and Spurs Thursday night on the team. Pregame at 6:35. For play-by-play schedules, go to theteam1340.com.
Colorado sports leader. 101 FM, 1340 AM. The team. Team weather.
Becoming mostly sunny today. Grand Junction and Delta high around 65, 60 in Montrose. Tonight, mostly clear and 40. Sunny tomorrow, 69. Sunny and 75 on Friday. Saturday, mostly sunny, 77.
The Jim Davis Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 9:15. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, and joining us right now, the Grand Junction Chrysler Team phone line. Former Denver Bronco, Super Bowl 50 champion, who works on Altitude Sports Radio in Denver, Ryan Harris joins us. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing fine, man. First off, congratulations to you and the missus. Now, how many kids in the Harris family now?
3 kids, man, and I tell you what, it's an increase. So 2 to 3 has definitely been an increase. And but, you know, nothing, I don't know, you got kids?
I have 2 kids. Yes, they're all they're adult age now, though, so I'm well past the diaper changing stage. Yeah.
I hope you're doing the show from a trailer or an RV somewhere in Mexico. But
I wish.
No, you know,
I wish, man.
0-1 just wrecked me. You know, and John Carlson, a teammate of mine at Notre Dame and played for the Arizona Cardinals and Vikings, you know, he said to me, he said, when you have a kid, you realize how selfish you are. And I didn't think I was selfish, Jim, but I liked my cigars and movies, and I don't think I've been to a movie by myself in 4 years. But it's worth it. It's awesome. And I love my kids. And it's just, you know, the creation of life is just such an amazing gift. And Mama and baby are healthy, and I'm very lucky.
Fantastic, man. We are thrilled for you and the missus.
How has the defense changed from man-to-man to now a zone, now that your guys are outnumbered?
Yeah, you know, and it's not as bad zone-wise. It's just the, you know, you can't give cushion on the coverage. That's what we've realized so far, you know. In a cover, too, you give some cushion need. But there's no cushion, so bedtime is pretty tight, and I think that, you know, the other two kids, they realize too, like, there's no time to argue about who got to open the door first. They got a screaming, pooping baby. We got to get that door open. You know what I'm saying? less cushion in the coverage. That's what we realized so far. But you know, that's great. Coaches adapt, and great players execute the game plan.
Absolutely, and you've been doing that your entire life, my friend. You've been adapting and overcoming whatever's been thrown your way.
Hey,
let's start out with a couple of things that we've been talking about today. I don't know if I'm sure you probably got the Joe Flacco comments yesterday about being the understood starting quarterback. There are some people that are criticizing Flacco for saying that, you know, basically, I wish we'd draft somebody that's going to help us right now. If they draft a quarterback, that's fine. I'll deal with it. I guess just your take on what you heard from Joe Flacco yesterday.
What people forget about Joe Flacco is this is a man who won a Super Bowl and has gone to the playoffs multiple times and played in the absolute most physical division in all of the NFL, in the AFC North. I mean, it is not even close. I mean, you're going against Perfect twice. You were going against Perfect twice a year, not to mention the rest of the defenders on Cincinnati. You're going against the Pittsburgh Steelers twice a year, whose whole game is to be so physical that you tap out, right? And even the Browns, they're a favorite to win the AFC North. So he's been in a division, and he's won a lot of games. And you know, it's funny to me. It's like people expect Joe Flacco to be like, you know what? Yeah, guys, you're right. I only had 4 great games, and I won a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not really that good. No, that's not what Joe Flacco's saying. So here you have a world champion competitor who understands the landscape as a veteran quarterback and says, listen, they're going to draft somebody, sure. You know, I'm going to do my role. I mean, that's what happened to him last year. But he is very focused on winning this job, and not just winning this job, but winning football games. And that's one of the things he said in his initial press conference when he met the media. He said, I am here to win games. That's the only way I measure success. And I can tell you, from being a veteran, joining a new team, the last thing you want to do without even playing a single play with this team is start saying, oh, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. It doesn't matter who they bring.
Apparently having a little phone issue with Ryan, so we'll step aside for a moment here, try to reconnect with Ryan, because we're missing some of what he was saying there. Ryan Harris with, of course, Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Works over there in the middays on Altitude. Of course, former Broncos starting offensive lineman when they went to Super Bowl 50, joining us on the program today, trying to reconnect with him. So hopefully we can maybe make that connection. We will try this again. I'm sorry, Ryan. We lost you there, buddy, for some reason.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, you know, he's worrying about other things that have nothing to do with draft picks. And you want somebody to win a podium in April? Come on. We're talking about winning football games. So that's what you got with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I want a guy that has confidence. Say, Joe Flacco's a veteran quarterback. He's coming in to lead this offense, to win football games. And I'm not sure what people expect him to say. That I'm, you know, the Lamar Jackson situation was so much fun. I love mentoring young guys that are going to replace me. Boy, I hope that happens again. We were expecting to say that. I don't get it either.
Yeah, and you know what it is, too, Broncos fans, you have to realize how upset you are. You know, part of getting out of suffering is acknowledging what you're experiencing. And as a Broncos fan, you experienced the most unbelievable season in 2015 with the most legendary quarterback to arguably ever play the game. And since then, you have had nothing. You've had nothing. You have had Trevor Siemian has brought you your best season the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's what people are upset about. And while the Broncos fans are upset, listen, there are issues on this team. Tight end, middle linebacker. How about a running back that can stay healthy? Absolutely phenomenal. Philip Lindsay was able to do what he did. but he wasn't able to stay healthy. Royce Freeman was not able to stay healthy. You need a bell cow back who's going to be able to bring you 1,000 yards and finish in the playoffs, and they don't have that yet. So start focusing on the real problems, not what your quarterback who will be starting, who is the best quarterback that's available, who has won a Super Bowl and playoff games in Denver, by the way, worrying about what he's saying on a podium in April.
Brian Harris, former Bronco, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Your thoughts about what the Broncos did in free agency. Do you like the moves that they made?
Love the moves that they made. One, let's talk about versatility. One of the toughest things to do as an offense is figure out who's a cornerback and who's a safety when you have cornerbacks who can play safety. You have three cornerbacks who can play safety, and you have those three quarterbacks also happen to be in the top 10 of all cornerbacks in the NFL. I mean, think about that. Who's going to be safety? Who's playing corner? Who's playing underneath? Who's playing that tight coverage, you know, similar to having three kids, right? They're going to be making quarterbacks guess. And, oh, by the way, while guys like Patrick Mahomes and Phillip Rivers are trying to guess, you've got 12.5 sack Bradley Chubb. You've got 14 sack Von Miller. These guys are coming for you. And so this is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal defense and coached well. I played against Vic Fangio defenses. They are tough. They piss you off because guys you never heard of are good, and it really throws a wrench in your day. And you've got the coverage now, which you'll need in the AFC West with the three best quarterbacks, three of the five best quarterbacks in the entire NFL.
Is Juwan James a guy that just scratching the surface of his talent? It's going to take a Mike Munchak to really bring him even further along. Injuries have been kind of an issue with Juwan James. They're paying him an awful lot of money. Playing him really kind of left tackle money to play right tackle. Ryan, your thoughts about Juwan James and what he means to this offensive line?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things. One, with the money, we talk about this on my show. People got to get past it. The salary cap's $188 million this year. To give you an example, when I came out for my first free agency, it was $142 million. I mean, that is a drastic change. People are going to start getting money, and it's only – you're going to see a $400 million salary cap once every single team in the country has betting kiosks in the stadium, right? So that's one issue. But Juwan James, when I watch the film, I see an athletic, powerful player who's got great knee bend, who can recover in a rush, which is important because the rush usually lasts past the first punch. And one of the things he is as well is a very cerebral guy. I've talked to some of the coaches who've been around him already, and they wonder if he's got that killer instinct. Well, you don't have to have that killer instinct as long as you have a coach who gives you the reason why. We had Muffin McGraw, coach of Notre Dame women's basketball, on our show the other day. And she said, this generation needs to understand why they're doing something. What's in it for them? And in the NFL, with some of these old school coaches, they don't know what to do with a guy like that. But I'll tell you something. Mike Munchak is great not only because he coaches technique for offensive linemen, but he figures out how to reach in and tap a guy's competitive spirit, and he will find a way to do that with Juwan James, who again is the most athletic tackle that Denver's seen since, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to brag, but you know, it's been a while.
Yeah, since some guy that was on that Super Bowl 50 team. Yeah.
Went
some to Notre
old
Dame.
Guy.
Yeah.
Three back surgeries, a toe surgery, but he still oiled up those wheels for 19 games.
Ryan Harris joining us this morning from Altitude Sports Radio 92.5. He'll be on 10 to 2 today. On Altitude Sports Radio. Ryan, I'm going to ask you to put your GM hat on for a couple things here. First off, we'll start with Chris Harris Jr. What do you do with the Chris Harris Jr. situation if you're Ryan Harris, Broncos general manager?
They give him a 3-year deal with a bunch of money up front this year. You know, and he, I mean, they've been getting a steal on Chris Harris Jr. since he came out of the draft, right? He's an unrestricted free agent who's been a top five cornerback in the NFL the last 5 years. And I said this on my show, and I know Chris Harris Jr., love him. We share the same last name. You know, we got to be brothers somewhere down the line. But he really did himself a disservice not showing up to training, to OTAs, to minicamp. And even Vic Fangio said, I haven't talked to Chris Harris Jr. in weeks. And what happens, if you're Vic Fangio, you think, man, you know, this guy, this great player, now he's a problem. He's a thorn in my tail. Like, what's going on here? You know, and everybody's saying, no, Chris Harris Jr. is great. He's a fantastic worker. He studies film. He's great for the locker room. And Vic Fangio's saying, great. You know what? Tell me as much as you want about Santa Claus, too, because I don't know him. I don't see him. I can't validate what you're saying. Now, if Chris Harris Jr. came to OTAs, talked about is every single time they put him in front of a microphone, Chris, how's things going? You know, I'm really not going to answer until we figure out my contract. Hey, Chris, how do you like the new additions? I'm really not going to answer until we figure out a new contract. I mean, that's where you put yourself in a position of strength as a player. So if I was his agent, I would have had him do it a little differently. But if I'm the GM of the Broncos, you pay the man who helped win you a Super Bowl, and who is your best corner on your team.
All right, second task for general manager Ryan Harris. Who do you take with the 10th overall pick, or what do you do with the 10th pick? Do you trade down in this draft?
Yeah, I'm going to trade down and take Noah Fant. Because to me, this draft for the Broncos comes down to one question. What's more important, middle linebacker or tight end? The Broncos have not had a tight end worth their grain of salt who can stay healthy, right, for the past four seasons, right? And you really need that threat. One of the things that Joe Flacco did when he was extremely successful was this guy named Todd Heap. He was a fantastic tight end who played, and there was another guy, I forget his name, he went to the University of Minnesota.
Max Williams? Max Williams played at...
Max Williams.
Yeah.
He's there now, but when they won, I think Matt Spaith was there.
You're right about that, yes.
But he has used the tight end, Joe Flacco, tremendously. Ever heard of this guy named Rob Gronkowski? Travis Kelce? Amazing how great tight ends also go hand-in-hand with prolific quarterbacks and offense. You need to score points, and you need a threat down the middle to take some of the pressure off a young guy, Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, and you do so with the tight end. So I would trade down to 13-14, get T.J. Hockenstein or Noah Fant, both tight ends out of Iowa, and really get some extra picks in rounds 2, 3, or 4 and get a quarterback there like an Easton Stick, like the kid Jackson out of Buffalo, or even the Clayton Thorson, who's projected to be a second or third round pick out of Northwestern. Get some guys like that later on in the draft and really start stacking your roster with guys that fit Vic Fangio's system.
Do you think Dalton Risner, the Kansas State lineman, is going to be there in the second round for them?
There are going to be a lot of linemen in this second, third, and fourth rounds. And you start to wonder, though, I mean, you know, they really got to have a conversation with Ronald Leary. I think he's set to make $7 or $9 million this year. He hasn't been healthy the previous 2 years. They got to restructure that deal. You need some backup strength there. They let Max Garcia go in free agency, so they definitely need some depth. And I honestly, talking with some of the members of the staff there at the Broncos in Dove Valley, they haven't thrown out the idea of getting a tackle in the first round either. So there are a couple of ways they can go. But if I'm the GM, I'm trading down, getting some extra picks later on, and getting a tight end.
Former Broncos offensive lineman, Super Bowl 50 champion Ryan Harris joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. What did you make of Dwayne Haskins wearing the Elway jersey to his meeting with the Broncos?
Man, great showmanship, great panache. And you know what that tells me, too? They're trying to hide something. Listen, why am I trying to lick your boot if I'm the man for the job? No. You pay me or don't pay me. I don't care. I'm going to go somewhere else and win. I'm not going to try to impress you. It's a nice deal. It's very kind. But also, you got to remember, who's been the most successful quarterback out of Ohio State? And while you're waiting, I'll just tell you that there are going to be some big-time risks taken by any team that gets him. If you want Haskins, you're going to have to trade up to 6, probably, to get him to beat the Giants to that punch. A great arm, threw for over 3,500 yards this last year, over 20 touchdowns, very, very prolific. And we've seen that before from T.J. Barrett, who's not a quarterback, from Braxton Miller, who's not a quarterback in the NFL, from Troy Smith, who was not a quarterback in the NFL. I just would be very hesitant to draft a quarterback out of Ohio State, a school that's proven to be a system school over the last two coaches in the last two decades.
Yeah, I think the thing you're getting at with Ohio State is you have Terrell Pryor and Braxton Miller, Ohio State quarterbacks, now playing receiver in the NFL more than there are any signal callers.
And Terrell Pryor's a hell of a tight end, or a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great wide receiver, but not a guy not a guy that the Browns, I think the Browns selected him as a quarterback, if I remember correctly.
Raiders.
But the Raiders, that's right, the Raiders. But, yeah, he didn't play. I think he played 1 year at quarterback, and that was it. So you got to be careful against guys. I mean, and I could be 100% wrong, and I hope for, you know, Haskins' sake, I am 100% wrong. But if I'm a GM, don't ever walk into my door telling me we're drafting a quarterback from Ohio State in the first round. Prove it first. I'll be wrong once before I'm wrong twice and lose my job, right?
Ryan Harris joining us from Altitude Sports Radio. He'll be on the air coming up in a little bit at 10 o'clock this morning. And Ryan, we always appreciate the time, particularly now that your personal life is even busier than normal with your third child. We appreciate the time. Go ahead. Do you have something, Buckeye, you want to ask?
Yeah, quick question. Now that you have three children, what would you rather do, take the three kids to a mall by yourself or have to wrangle Orlando Franklin around Pepsi Center again?
Yeah, I'll take the kids, man. You know, Orlando, man. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, we can, it's funny with Orlando, you know, we that's a friendship that should have been hatred, right? I mean, like, he was drafted to replace me, and honestly, there are a few better people that I've met in my life, not just in the NFL, than Orlando Franklin. But you know me, man. I'm a champion, so I love the challenge. Give me those three kids. Let's go to the mall. I'm trying to pick up a bow tie. Let's roll, baby.
Hey, Ryan, before I let you go, I got to ask you about this because you have a degree in political science when you went to Notre Dame. You graduate 2 degrees there, economics and policy and poli-sci. And I always love reading your stuff online. You're a guy that always has a lot of opinions, not just football opinions, but opinions about society and life as well. And I think that's fantastic. It's more than just about sports. It's about the world we live in, too, and you always have some great opinions on that. Any aspirations ever to seek political office or get involved in that way? I know your life's busy with doing the radio stuff and everything you do, but and also promoting your book as well. But ever any thought about pursuing a political career?
You know, Jim, I think about it, and then the live bodies in my closet start clawing at the door, and I think, I don't know if I can do that. You know, and I start to look, you know, and I hope it will change. But this political landscape, you know, it was funny. I was talking to somebody. I said, call me crazy, but I want a politician who can compromise a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I understand everybody's got some great things and great points that are important to them, but I'd rather be a bridge builder. So I've kind of looked at, you know, maybe I've got a couple friends who I've been working with that are going to be running for office, and I want to build bridges. Hey, Jim's not going to vote for this. All right, let me go talk to Jim. We're going to talk Broncos football a little bit because we're both from Colorado. Let me see if Jim can move on anything else, you know, and I'd love to be a part of policy. Like, I'd love for the state of Colorado to say, hey, you will not play contact football with children under the age of 14. I really want that to happen for the youth here in our state. So I really look for ways in which I can impact our community and our state like that. And of course, you know, it all starts at home for me. Those three kids, you know, if I'm a great bridge builder or politician to the city or state, but a bad parent, then I've failed as a man. And it's very, very important to me in a job that I'm honored to have to be a father. And my kids get everything they want in terms of my energy. And I'll look to build bridges and continue to make people think about things maybe a little differently in a non-confrontational way and by social media and the digital posts that we can do and the conversations we have around sports.
Yeah, I just think, there's plenty of room for a lot of common sense, certainly bridge building, fence mending, finding some common ground between all of us. I agree with that. Now, in regard to the 14 and under ban on tackle football, is that something that you're working on to eventually take to the state capitol, take go over there and have them vote on this at some point in time? Because I know a lot of states, this is something that's building a lot of momentum in a lot of different states.
Yeah, you know, that's something, you know, when you got, I'm in the process now of learning how to write a bill, which is pretty fun, you know what I'm saying? Just to say, man, who cares if it gets shot down? That's something pretty cool to bring up there and say, hey, I think this is a worthwhile idea. But, you know, I'll just tell you, I was sitting with somebody last summer, and this guy, and I get all your, everybody's football stories. Oh, I did this, I did that. And this guy sits, he goes, oh, you play football? I said, yeah, I used to. He goes, you know, we run I got the toughest training camp in the entire league for my boys. I'm like, oh, that's great. How old are your kids? He's like, oh, they're 9. I'm like, well, what makes your training camp so tough? He goes, well, we hit the most. I'm like, dude, are you? And I said, you are a bleeping idiot. You got 9-year-olds smashing their heads, and it's the toughest training camp. Like, get the heck out of here. And that's the biggest issue with prep sports, our coaches who've never played, who don't understand that your job is to be positive for kids. I'm working with a positive coaching alliance here in the state of Colorado. And one of the things I've done is you get some of those coaches in there, I start giving them the coaching that you get in the NFL. And I say, who wants to continue this day like this? No one raises their hand, right? I'm like, okay, so now remember this when you go and talk to your kids who have fought through everything at school and bullying or bad grades or a girlfriend who dumped them or a boyfriend who dumped them. And then they get to you and you want to rip them down because you want to feel better as a grown man. Get the bleep out of here. You know, so there's a lot of work we can do to develop the teamwork, the positivity, the achievement, you know, overcoming failure, one of the greatest skills, whether you're an athlete or not, that you need in this life. Let's focus on those things instead of having the toughest training camp for nine-year-olds because you're smacking them around all day. Get out of here, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Ryan, about that. Could not agree with you more. Hey, I always appreciate the time, man. We could talk for 3 hours, and it wouldn't even scratch the surface, man.
I was going to say, Jim, I do a lot of these, but I always have fun on your show, and thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you, Ryan, and we always appreciate the time, and hopefully you get some sleep. You and the missus get some sleep here at some point.
You know, I just learned of this Buddhist concept of, you know, suffering comes from craving, so I no longer crave sleep, Jim. I just am... I'm tired, and I'm okay being tired.
And you have just accepted that. I mean, when our daughter was born, man, she did not sleep for the first 2 years of her life. So I understand the concept of what you're talking about there. I really, really do.
Our third kid has made me abandon the craving for sleep, so I'm just going to... So hopefully I'll talk to you in the future, and I won't be delirious.
All right. Well, yeah, tell you what. If this is delirious, you're pretty sane, man, because you've hit a lot of great points today. Hey, Ryan, always appreciate it. Ryan Harris, of course, was on the Broncos offensive line, Super Bowl 50, Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Catch a show today online, 10 to 2 over in Denver. Ryan, always appreciate the time. Look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks, Jim. Peace.
And likewise, Ryan Harris joining us on the program today. I could talk to him for 3 solid hours.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't cover everything that we'd want to cover.
No, not at all. If you don't like that dude, there's something wrong with you. Just saying.
And the thing I really like about him is he has opinions on a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you agree with all those opinions or not, that's up to you.
Right.
But he's got opinions. And it's...
You can respect him, too.
Yeah.
And he's not just one of those, it's the way it is because I played. That's how it is because I played. He has... thought. He has a reason. He has backup to whatever it is.
Well, on the tackle football legislation that he's involved with,
mm-hmm.
This comes from a guy that played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And played college football at Notre Dame. And, you know, at obviously a very high level. And knows what he's talking about.
Probably was playing full contact early.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's room for youth football. There needs to still be room for it, but we have to be smart about how we handle young players, their developing brains, and it's unfortunate. It takes legislation to maybe have a better path on protecting young football players. We want the game to be around, and if we aren't smart about it, it's going to end up being something that turns into
mm-hmm.
a sport that most kids don't play unless you're very, very, unless you're underprivileged and it's your chance to get out of a difficult situation in your life financially. And you don't want it to be that way. Football's a great game. I love playing football. Loved it.
So did I.
And so I hate it when we have to see legislation come into effect. But yeah, when Ryan's talking to guys that are, we run the toughest training camp for 9-year-olds. That's ridiculous.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, good for you. You're Johnny Badass Coach. Good for you. It's team building. It's developing them as young people. Those are the things that are supposed to be great about football or any sport, and not about how often your guys go out and have full contact and knock the crap out of each other. I mean, Oklahoma drills that you do, or hamburger drills, or whatever drill that you're running.
I'm all ears for the hamburger drill.
It's about them developing as young people and doing what we can to protect their brains so they can play football, and then when football ends, whatever stage that is, that they can go on and have outstanding lives.
Yeah.
Always good stuff with him. I just have always been impressed with things I've read from him and enjoy the time that we have with Ryan Harris. Of course, yeah, always good chat. Of course, you'll be able to catch this later on today if you didn't catch the whole interview with Ryan Harris. Spotify, iTunes, and our website, theteam1340.com, for a conversation with Ryan Harris. All right, 9:40, and let's get to the birthdays today. Let's see what we have going on today, celebrity birthday-wise. Today, Jennifer Garner, alias... the one-time Mrs. Ben Affleck.
Electra, wasn't she?
She was Electra. Have you seen the movie? Was it Peppermint?
No.
Where she's kind of like the Alias character. She's a badass.
Nope.
She trains her family, gets killed, and she trains herself to be this lethal weapon. She's 47. It's okay. It's not great. She's 47 today. Rooney Mara is 34 today.
Granddaughter of the Giants owner.
That's right.
And other things.
And also pretty talented actress as well. So it's her birthday today. The rapper DNA is 28. Sean Bean is 60. Ned Stark from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I was watching a thing that 60 Minutes had about Cooper Anderson went to where they store a lot of the props for Game of Thrones. They don't throw anything away because they're going to do the prequel stuff, and they think some of it might be able to be repurposed for the shows they're going to do going forward. They had the head in there of Sean Bean because, spoiler alert, Ned Stark gets killed in season one. He gets decapitated, and they had the Sean Bean head on a pole that they were looking at. But Sean Bean is 60 today. Also, let's see, the rapper Redman is 49 today. And from your world of professional wrestling, he would have celebrated a birthday, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
What is, I can't remember what the name of that movie was, but the line, I came here to kick you know what.
Oh, I said the aliens?
Yeah. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Yes. Love me some Rowdy Roddy Piper. What is that? They Live.
They Live, yeah, the alien film that he was in. Baseball, Marquise Grissom, Denny Walling, they celebrate birthdays today. Also, Charlie Ferguson from baseball, from basketball, Theo Ratliff, Kevin Porter, Jeff Petrie from football, Fred Smoot, outstanding Colorado prep prospect, one-time Jacksonville Jag offensive lineman, Tony Baselli. Boomer Esiason celebrates a birthday today. Also, part of the fearsome foursome with the L.A. Rams, Lamar Lundy. It's his birthday today. And let's see, from hockey, trying to see if there's anybody on here. Ken Danico celebrates a birthday today. All right, 9:43, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. And we'll take a break. We'll come back. Garbage time coming up in a few. Get some of your text as well. Got some thoughts on the Ryan Harris interview. Ryan Harris says, look, the Broncos should trade down in the draft. And he thinks they should take Noah Fant. We could see some history where you have two players from the same position, from the same school, get drafted in the first round. Hawkinson and Fant from Iowa. That's never happened. We've had two players, same position, go in the first round. That could happen.
Yeah, one of them dinged up. He's going to the Broncos.
Well, Noah Fant is more of the Julius Thomas type. He's a guy that's going to, he can play to the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkinson is the more versatile inline blocker, really good receiver. Fant has the ability to stretch the field more than Hawkinson. Either way, if you're the Broncos, you're not really going to be wrong if you draft either one. Now the question is, do you draft one of those guys with the 10th overall pick? A lot of people saying, are you crazy to take a tight end at 10?
Yeah.
They took Riley Odoms back in the 70s, I think at 5 in the first round. And that's, I think, the last time and maybe the only time ever that they drafted the tight end that high in the draft. So we shall see what happens there. All right, 9:44. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
So excited to get things going. We might fall start. It's the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. Jamal Murray helped to fuel the Nuggets' comeback as they rallied to beat San Antonio 114-105 in Denver last night to even up their playoff series at a game apiece. Murray scored 21 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter. The series moves to San Antonio tomorrow night, pregame on Thursday at 6:35 on the Team Sports Network. The Avalanche look to extend their 2-1 series lead over Calgary tonight. Avs and the Flames tonight, pregame at 7:35 on the Team. Nolan Arenado homered on his birthday to lead the Rockies to an 8-2 win in San Diego. The Rockies take both games against the Padres. Colorado's off today. They host Philadelphia tomorrow. Montrose knocked off Grand Junction 8-2 at Canyon View Park in Southwestern League baseball play. The Indians used a 3-run second inning to grab the lead. They didn't relinquish it as starter Bridger Davis went 6 2/3 to win, fanning 5 along the way. Blaine Butler took the loss to the Tigers and also had both of Grand Junction's RBIs. Indian skipper Landon Wareham says Davis answered the call.
I'll be honest, we've been challenging him. We know he's better than what he's been giving us. And to his credit, he stepped up today. And
both teams are now 2-1 in Southwestern League play. Two of the Western Slopes' best golfers tied for the medalist title of Tuesday's Rifle Invitational at Rifle Creek. Rifles Macy Smith and Grand Junction's Britlin Odell both shot 10 over 82s to tie for the individual crown. The Tigers' Jenna Greenlee was fifth, with Palisades' Kathy Norell and McKenna Shaw tying for sixth. Grand Junction won the team title, with Palisades second and Rifle sixth. And it was Berta Monmouth winning yesterday in boys lacrosse, likewise for Grand Junction's boys.
Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Valvoline. Get the ultimate protection for your ride. Find products at Valvoline.com. Cal McCarr is enjoying quite the week that hockey-crazed kids can only dream about. On Friday night, McCarr won the Hobie Baker Award, which is college hockey's version of the Heisman Trophy or Naismith Award. Then on Saturday, McCarr led UMass in its first-ever NCAA title game appearance. However, defending champion Minnesota Duluth prevailed 3-0. The next day, the 20-year-old defenseman turned pro, signing a 3-year entry-level contract with the Colorado Avalanche, who had drafted him in the first round, fourth overall. Finally, Monday night, McCarr made his NHL debut in the Stanley Cup playoffs and actually scored a goal just over 16 minutes into the game. Ironically, he helped beat the Flames, who were the team he rooted for while growing up in Calgary. This Kale's Salad Days have only just begun, and what a start for the young rookie. I'm Boomer Esiason.
If the car you're driving 2012 or newer is so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
Hey friends, Walt Pru here, manager of the Cameo Shooting and Education Complex. Well, we're into that outdoor time of year again, and we'll be changing to our summer hours soon. We'll be open 7 days a week. Right now, we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 to 6, and we've expanded our action shooting sports to include IDPA, USPSA, Steel Challenge, and 3-Gun. And be sure to ask about our beginning archery classes for all ages. We're easy to find off of I-70, exit 45, just east of Palisade. You can call us at 464-1339 or look for Cameo Shooting and Education Complex on Facebook.
Here in the KMUZ News Center. More than 50 schools in the Denver area are closed today as officials continue to search for an 18-year-old woman described as obsessed with the Columbine Massacre. Sol Paez arrived in Denver Monday from Florida, purchased a shotgun and ammunition, and headed for the foothills in Jefferson County. State and FBI officials calling threats made by Paez credible. Senate Bill 181 is now law, changing the mission of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and giving local governments more say in where drilling can occur. Proponents of the bill say they're concerned about new regulations and their cost. According to the Daily Sentinel, proponents say the new makeup of the commission switches its mission from fostering development to focusing first on health, safety, and the environment. There could be skiing on Aspen Mountain for Memorial Day. More than 100-inch base at the top of the mountain. The resort says it's just too early to tell. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMZZ News Center.
Western Colorado's home of the Rockies. The Team Sports Network. Tim Davis Show.
Well, it's amazing, and I love it.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. We had Ryan Harris on from Altitude 92.5. He made a really good point about the Haskins thing, about wearing the jersey where Yeah, it did.
He really did.
Kind of some moxie.
Word what are you like hiding?
Yeah, why are you kissing up to John Elway so much?
Yeah.
Are you afraid that, well, his stock continues to drop and that he has to resort to that? Please, take me.
Pick me.
I love you. I'm wearing your jersey. I want to be your next great quarterback.
I wore 7 because of you.
Yeah, he makes a really good point about it.
No, he does.
He does. Let's see, from Eric, reading between the lines, it's about the Joe Flacco comments about being the understood starting quarterback. Reading between the lines is always messy, but I'll try. If I were Joe, why trade for me and honor my contract if you don't trust me to take you to the next level? Therefore, give me the tools with which to do that. Valid point. You brought me in for a reason. You went out and you sought after me. You went after me. You made a deal. And now you're going to bring somebody in because you don't think I can do it? But wait, you just traded for me. Let's see. From Jared, should Jamal Murray have stopped shooting last night? Well, no. Talking about Will Barton?
Yeah. Because I said he probably should have stopped shooting at 1 for 10. There was a moment in that game where I didn't want Jamal Murray to shoot either. So I'm not going to back down from that.
There's a point where I think Michael Malone probably is like, man, I'm believing you, Blue Arrow, but man, I don't know.
To an extent.
Start out 0 for 8, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. Will Barton versus Jamal Murray, they're not the same animal.
No.
Jamal Murray is a guy that is, when he gets hot, he's unstoppable. Will Barton is not that guy. Will Barton is not Jamal Murray.
No, Will Barton's not going to take over the game.
Jamal Murray is, as we saw last night and we've seen in previous games throughout the course of his young career, he can take over.
Yeah.
He can be very Steph Curry-like and just take over a game from the perimeter.
And fill it up.
And so it's to me, Jared, it's apples and oranges here. Telling Will Barton to stop shooting, okay, yeah, because he's not Jamal Murray. He's not the kind of volume scorer that Jamal Murray is. And you hope that Jamal Murray shoots himself into a rhythm.
Himself out of a slump.
And he did last night. So, yeah, I don't think it's fair to compare the two because they're not the same guy. They're not the same kind of player. Will Barton can score, but Jamal Murray, as we've seen, capable of being a dominant force in a game. Will Barton's really good when he's hot. He's not Jamal Murray, though. Let's see, from Brent. Hello, team. How many quarterbacks do the Broncos currently have? They have 3. They have Kevin Hogan. They re-signed to a 1-year deal. Obviously, Joe Flacco. And I believe Garrett Grayson was on the practice squad. I believe he is still with them under contract. So those are your 3 that they have right now. Bronco Freak, does it really surprise you that Elway would pick somebody that plays to his ego? Look at VJ. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, touche there, Bronco Freak. All right.
Long memories of Broncos fans today.
Yeah, how? All right, 9:54. And on tomorrow's program, let's see what we have. Jamie Hamilton will be with us tomorrow.
Maybe. We'll have a Tuca speaker by tomorrow.
Maybe. I know Jamie is hoping that he'll have something to tell us on that tomorrow. And Beatles going to join us at 9:20 tomorrow. So 9 o'clock hour is going to be busy. And Crown Supply Athlete of the Week sometime 8:20, 8:40 tomorrow. We hope. All right.
We're working on it.
We're strongly striving to pull that together for tomorrow. All right. Coming up on top of the hour, Jim Rome in a few minutes. Let's go ahead and get to a little garbage time to wrap things up today.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right. Let's get to, how about some XFL news this morning, right?
Yeah.
Jones in for some XFL news. That it's sounding more and more like that the XFL desperately want Colin Kaepernick to play in their league. That Oliver Luck, of course, Andrew Luck's dad, the commissioner of the XFL, has been talking on some radio stations, one of them in Cleveland, where he made comments about possible signing of Colin Kaepernick to that league. That there are some salary restrictions, though, that Luck referenced that could pose a problem going forward, because remember that Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the Alliance of American Football. Now the XFL has a little more money than that in their wallet, but that could be the hang-up. But it sounds like John Manziel, Colin Kaepernick could be your guys going forward in the XFL. All right, that's our show. We'll see you back here tomorrow.